talked about.
Well, I'm sorry to add to your miseries, but I do have three pieces of bad news. In what order do you want them?
Oh, start with the least painful and work your way up.
Okay, one.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
One, two, three.
Bad boy!
Four, five, six.
V.I.G. Ah!
Check your panties. About 175,000 rice. I think that was supposed to be pantries.
I couldn't warn you before I saw it, and I couldn't warn you, Eric. I'm just so...
About 175,000 rice and slow cookers are being recalled due to fire and electric shock hazards.
Just go ahead and say hello to the internet. Hi, everybody.
Hello.
I'm trying to get it together.
It's all good.
Oh, my goodness. Okay.
This is incredibly immature behavior.
And now.
Pretty good. Pretty good.
Our feature presentation.
Right, who's with me?
Wait, what?
Thanksgiving, ooh, Thanksgiving.
Yeah, I'm just kidding.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Tuesday morning, the 14th of November.
First of all, Thanksgiving Spooks is welcome here. It's an awesome idea.
That's what I meant, sure.
And second of all, did you think of that because of Allie's incredible turkey sound effects?
I did not.
That is stunning.
It really is.
Yeah,
it's a beautiful, beautiful noise.
Thank you.
It's like having a turkey right here in the studio.
It really is.
Remember the Butterball Turkey Hotline days?
Yeah, it was dumb.
That was fun.
It was the worst.
That was fun. And then now we can't have nice things.
It's just stupid.
Not allowed to do it anymore, but
yeah,
it was fun. By the way, Thanksgiving is a week from Thursday.
That's right.
Yeah.
Hard to believe.
Okay.
Is that it? I mean, what?
What's happening?
Are you all right?
Today?
I was just pointing it out. That it's a week from Thursday. That's all.
Okay. You're very nostalgic, and then you're thinking towards the future. You don't even like that. What's happening with you?
Well, I have a lot of Thanksgiving feelings because of your turkey, and then the Thanksgiving spooks. And I just started thinking about the holiday fast approaching and the long
weekend.
Right?
And
fine.
Okay.
Yeah. Just I think a lot of people might be surprised. Thanksgiving seems early to me this year. I think it's only the 23rd.
Mm-hmm.
And oftentimes it's a little closer to the end of the month. It just I feel like it kind of sneaked up on us a little bit. That's all.
All right.
Okay.
How about that?
Hey, we've got a lot of show today, but I want to start with this story because I am fascinated. This is, by the way, there is another word that I have a lot of trouble pronouncing correctly, and it is cryogenics. I always want to call it chirogenics, and it's not that at all. It's cryogenics,
mm-hmm.
but for whatever reason, I have trouble saying it. But there's a Russian firm that is in the news right now. You know, a lot of people around the world, there are number of companies that have offered this service where when you die, they freeze you and then bring you back to life. Now, the science on that is not rock solid yet.
Have they brought anyone back to life?
No.
I thought they just freeze you and then you're just frozen forever.
Well, there are a couple different things that they're trying to do. One of them is, yeah, they freeze you and then they're going to keep you someplace safe. And then if the technology ever gets to the point where they can bring you back to life, whether it's in 50 years or 500 years, your body will be there. But they've done a lot of testing on this, and they've never been able to, for instance, freeze a liver or a heart and then reuse that.
Right.
So they think it's unlikely that they'll be able to figure out a way to make a body survive that. But the reason I bring this up today is because this firm in Russia is doing it a little bit differently, and I want to know what you guys think about this. They say part of the problem is you're trying to bring back someone from the dead if you do it the old way. The new way is that we want to freeze you before you die so that you don't have that impediment to come back to life because you're still alive when they freeze you. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, of course. It's a horrible idea.
Yeah.
So they're going to actually kill you.
Yes.
Okay.
Oh.
Now, they're doing it in Switzerland where euthanasia is legal, which is how they are able to do that. And they want to freeze people before they die so that in the future they can bring you back to life. And they say that if they do it this way, it will avoid the extensive brain damage that happens if you wait till after somebody dies. Now, the people who get it done after they die, they always try to do it within a few minutes. But still, this company is arguing, well, that's too late because, you know, you're going to have brain damage at that point. And then what's the point of being brought back in 500 years if you're brain damaged, you know? So I don't know. I mean, look, look, a lot of people have tried a lot of crazy things in science to kind of push science forward. Mm-hmm. There may be nothing to this, but hopefully, you know, maybe they'll learn something that will help us here on Earth now.
Can they learn something from someone else and not me?
I don't think anyone is required to do this.
All right, good.
I was interested in the procedure, though, because remember, you're alive, okay? They cool you in an ice bath to gradually reduce your temperature bit by bit. And then at a certain point, they drain your blood and replace it with an antifreeze-type fluid to stop harmful ice crystals from forming in the body.
Oh, no, this sounds rock solid.
Saw that on Dateline.
Look, again.
It's the worst idea ever.
It's awful.
But next to Facebook asking for your nude photos. Other than that.
But, Kevin, there would have been many times in history that somebody would have said, hey, we're going to take the heart out of your body and put somebody else's heart in. And trust us, it's going to work. And you would have said, no way, don't ever come near me with that. That can't be done. It's impossible.
Right.
Medical science advances.
Right. But all of those people who would be able to give me a heart replacement would laugh mm-hmm. at this. They would say, you know what? Dumb.
Here's what I'm saying to you. In 2017, it seems unlikely that this will work. In 2067, who knows? They may be doing this all the time in 2067. You have no confidence in the human brain to figure some of this stuff out, some of these challenges out?
I mean, I would – no.
Look at
not that kind of thing.
Look at all of the things we have figured out a way to do.
Right.
Don't you think someone would have laughed at you 100 years ago if you would have said, you know what? We're going to – see the moon up there? We're going to walk on it. A human being's going to walk on that moon.
Yes, that is –
you would have been laughed out of town. Nobody could have conceived of the machines that would be built and the things that would be invented that would make it possible for that to happen in
the future. There's only one way to find out, and that's for you to get frozen and die.
Yeah.
I don't know, Bean. I'm not sure.
I feel like you volunteer in the interest of science, and then, you know, whenever, we bring you back and fix you.
But none of you will be around when that time comes, so who do I have to say
how
I told you so?
How do you know? You don't know the advances in medicine.
Right, you're going to be frozen.
Yeah.
So you guys will...
We're going to live forever.
You'll still be alive on the outside.
Right.
Yeah.
By the way, in case you're wondering, it seems very reasonable, too. The firm is charging only $36,000 to freeze you.
Fantastic.
I mean, that's reasonable if you're getting something.
You can also have your pet... You can do the same thing with your pets, by the way. A little cat cost about $8,000, all the way up to a sliding scale up to a big dog that cost around $20,000. And I don't know if that's because they need more ice or what the deal is. I don't know why it would be that much different, but there you go.
That ice can be expensive.
I'm just saying, maybe they're onto something.
And I'm
maybe
saying, freeze Bean, freeze Bean, freeze Bean, freeze Bean. Right?
You guys have no vision, man.
Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean show, shall we?
Kevin. Not for nothing, but being your friend is like having a goddamn colonoscopy.
Wow.
There's a scientist that says listening to Christmas music too early can harm your health.
Well, he's
can be bad
wrong.
For you physically.
He's wrong and
nuts.
Bad.
Remember we were telling you about that job offer to be the Cancun CEO where they pay you, was it $60,000?
Yeah.
To go to Cancun and just pretty much post on social media for about 6 months, we're going to talk to that guy. The guy that's actually offering that job, we're going to talk to him today.
Now, do you believe in that? You think that's real?
Yeah, because it's real.
Okay.
And it's also technically possible and scientifically possible.
All right, so you just decide what's real and what's not. I got it.
Yes, that's how it works. You people with your emotional support pets?
I don't like being referred to as you people,
right?
But okay.
Petros Papadakis is going to be on the show today talking USC-UCLA, plus we've got your tickets for that game. We have your tickets for the U2 experience, your chance to listen to the brand new U2 album with the band before anybody else hears it. And we've also got your tickets for K-Rock's Almost Acoustic Christmas as well today.
Nice.
Well, that's coming up. We'll take a break. We'll come back. Orlando's alternative rock. It's the world famous K-Rock and the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:52.
Bright and early on a Tuesday morning, look who it is. Ralph Garman is here with our first look at the showbiz beat for a new show. What's going on, man?
Hey, guys, stop touching people. All you guys who are touching ladies and kids... Hey, can we cut that out?
Yeah, let's stop that.
Every day gets worse and worse. It's like some sort of weird post-apocalyptic virus.
It is a nightmare.
Former President George H.W. Bush had to apologize again yesterday after a sixth woman stepped forward and said she was groped by the 41st president during a photo op. She was just 16 years old at the time. Former president, according to Rosalyn Corrigan, groped her butt cheeks while she was standing next to him for a picture in November of 2003.
And that's just the latest in quite a list of women making that charge against... Okay, six,
this
yeah.
This is the sixth.
And more than one have made this accusation, am I right?
There's six. There would be six.
Six.
For the fourth time, this is the sixth woman, yes.
We discovered while you were out, Ralph, although you probably already suspected it.
You guys don't pay any goddamn attention? Is that what you discovered?
Kevin has the memory of a goldfish. That's what we discovered.
I see. I think Kevin was mocking you because you were the first one to ask if this was more than one woman. I said six at the beginning of the story, I think was the point.
I'm just saying, there's been multiple ladies.
I would say six.
More than one.
I would say this would be the sixth woman.
Okay. I mean, if this was a pattern, it would be something.
It would be disturbing. Let's say if this was the sixth woman, I think then we'd all have, have things to worry about. Of course, there's the Roy Moore situation going on in Alabama. Another woman, a fifth woman, has come forward and said that she was sexually assaulted by him when she was a teenager, and he was in his 30s working as a district attorney there in Alabama. And now a story has come out about actor Tom Sizemore, and this is no surprise to anyone. Apparently, he was told to leave the set of a film that was shooting in Utah back in 2003 because an 11-year-old actress told her mother that she was touched inappropriately by Tom Sizemore.
Wow.
And that guy went on to work in other things. This is 2003 when this happened. Ali Raisman, the Olympic gold medalist, said the Olympic gold medal doctor, the USA Team USA doctor, was molesting the girls who were participating in that program. It's madness.
It is.
Time to start taking some people out. That's all I'm saying.
Agreed.
Time to send them all to Chipotle. Right? The reason I bring that up is because Jeremy Jordan, star of Supergirl, revealed on Instagram that, in his words, he almost died after eating food from Chipotle and posted a video from his hospital bed.
Almost died?
Yeah. He had food poisoning so severe that he was in critical condition. Thanked his wife for being nothing less than amazing. Now the people at Chipotle have issued a statement saying they're sorry about the situation. They're going to try to get in touch with Jeremy Jordan directly. And they take all claims seriously, but at this time we can't confirm any link to Chipotle, they say. I don't blame them. CW, meanwhile, has said they're going to spin Jeremy Jordan's character from Supergirl off in light of this recent episode and call him Squirt Boy.
Oh.
Yeah, it's going to have a new series.
I don't want to see that.
Yeah, no, it's going to be. He flies around the room. No. He leaves a trail, but no, still, he's got a superpower.
No, thank you.
I've never eaten it to Chipotle.
Well, consider yourself lucky. Apparently, it's killing people.
Yeah, I was just wondering, is this a surprise to us?
Surprise to me. I've eaten there a lot.
Yeah. Well, there was a big news story being about Chipotle when they had that Ebola breakout.
Yeah, I remember.
Yeah, Boston College was hit by that. Yeah. Almost their whole student body.
Yeah.
Which I'm sure a lot of you think, okay.
Right.
And their plumbing
karma.
System. Not to mention their plumbing system. That took a hit. Gene Simmons is under fire. He's got a new book out. And in it, he says, a woman can't have a career and have children. They must choose.
Oh,
He's an open-minded fella.
He's something, isn't he?
He really is. Mm-hmm. First of all, he wrote a book.
Right.
That's the first surprise. But the second of all, in this day and age, you'd think, I don't know, maybe you'd realize that's not true.
Yeah, I mean, there's plenty of evidence against that theory. It seems like...
Tons.
Easily provable that it's wrong.
Yeah, but, you know, he's Gene. Just Gene being Gene. And how about this for a movie idea? Story of the most successful gentleman's club owner ever. Apparently, producers have purchased the rights to a book called Topless Profit about a guy named Alan Markowitz, who was a guy in Detroit who pioneered the topless clubs in that city, created the topless bar.
That guy's a hero, am I right?
Right. And he created the first topless airline as well. I do not remember a topless airline.
What?
But how did that fall out of favor?
Right.
How did they go out of business? Right? How did Tata's Air not catch on everywhere? I'm just surprised. This was a story like Larry Flint's story, where he had to fight for his First Amendment rights in court. And he was also famous around Detroit for purchasing a home next to that of his ex-wife, whom he had caught cheating and divorced. He bought the house next to her and then erected a 12-foot-tall statue of a middle finger in his front yard pointed at her house. So this guy was a character. Apparently, that's awesome. They're going to make a movie about his life.
And by awesome, I mean horrible, but awesome.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Patrick Warburton, my buddy from Family Guy. Really, really a very good dude, to top him being very talented. He is 53 years old today. Josh Duhamel is 45 years old. Blink-182's Travis Barker turns 42. Actor Corey Michael Smith. He is on Gotham Alley, and he plays...
Corey Michael Smith plays the Riddler.
That's right. I knew if we could ask enough questions, we'd get around to her being right about one in comic books, because that's usually her go-to answer.
Yeah.
She's 31 years old today. And, of course, our very own, you know him, you love him, you can't live without him. He's number 72 on the field, but number one in your heart, ladies and gentlemen, our own Bean Baxter. Bean Baxter celebrates his birthday today.
Bean, how are you going to celebrate?
That's a smattering.
How are you going to celebrate today?
I need somebody to pee on me. Does anybody have to pee?
Yeah. Right. That's a party.
That's a way to go.
They're going to frown on you at the IHOP, but look, you be you. You do you, Bean Baxter. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
That band right there, Weezer. You can see night number two of the sold-out K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2017 show on Sunday, December 10th at the Forum. We've got your tickets you can win this morning on the Kevin Bean Show. In fact, if I remember correctly, all week long, every hour from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m., you can win tickets to the show.
Correct.
On K-Rock.
Correct.
That's a pretty good deal. Hey, Ralph, I'm glad you're in here.
Good.
You broke some news yesterday. I had not heard anything about it, but you had a tip on People Magazine's Sexiest Man Alive. Even though the information does not come out until tomorrow officially, your sources said yesterday you knew who it was going to be.
I may be wrong. I thought it was supposed to be later today we were going to find out.
Okay.
But that's...
I think that's still true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's the rumor I've got, the rumor that the man on the street, Huggy Bear... told me when I was out on the street, one of my many informants told me that indeed Blake Shelton is going to be named People Magazine's Sexiest Man Alive for 2017.
Huh. Now.
Got my wife's support.
Oh,
my
yeah?
wife is in love with Blake Shelton. 100% thinks he is by far the sexiest man alive
really?
In 2017. Hmm. She has formed me already. Tickets for his concert go on sale soon, and apparently there's some sort of bonus deal. Where's a meet and greet situation, and I've been informed that I'm purchasing.
You
those.
Get to go to Blake Shelton.
Yes, apparently.
How exciting!
I don't know if he gets to go.
How exciting!
Yeah, it's true. I get to buy the tickets. I don't know if I get to go, or not. And that's okay with me if I don't. Because country music and all.
Right. Is she a big country music fan, or
yes.
is she? Oh, okay. She
likes country music, but none more so than Blake Shelton.
Blake Shelton,
and no men more than so than Blake Shelton.
Is this 100% because of the voice?
She fell in love with his personality on that show in
right.
terms of how charming he is, but has always thought he was dreamy.
Hmm.
And I think there's also some reflected glory on his part because he is dating the lovely and talented Gwen Stefani.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes in the female mind, if you allow me to delve.
delve away.
I think sometimes if a woman that you admire and think is particularly interesting or attractive or is talented or successful, shows interest in a man that gives him a certain validation, that raises him up in the eyes of other women. His status
Absolutely.
Is raised mm-hmm. when other women that you respect their opinions, they're showing interest in that guy.
And in reverse, you'll remember a couple of years ago when we had the big conversation about how a lot of people really lost enthusiasm for Tom Hiddleston because he was dating Taylor Swift. Everybody
yes.
was like, bad
right?
match.
That's the worst.
Don't like it.
That took a hit. His reputation took a hit that he still hasn't recovered.
I think you're right.
People still hold their nose when they see him in public. Sadly,
now, the thing about The Sexiest Man Alive is it is, first of all, obviously subjective. I'm
no,
sure
it's
there are,
science. Yeah.
But it's a total package kind of deal. Mm-hmm. It's about way more than just looks. As you said, it's about who you associate with, but it's about personality. It's about being funny. I mean, you look at some of the previous sexiest men like The Rock and Channing Tatum and Adam Levine. These are all like total
Dogs.
Packages, right?
Oh, right.
No, they're attractive guys. And I think Blake Shelton is attractive in a different kind of way.
Yes.
I think he's sort of a rugged cowboy flannel shirt fixing the fence post kind of attractive versus a metropolitan or metrosexual sort of well-groomed, fancy pants, mm-hmm. Hollywood elite kind of.
But
character.
My thing is not that he's not sexy. That's my mm-hmm. thing. It's not that he isn't.
You know he's sexy.
Yeah,
you're
Kevin,
got
you're
that.
Into it.
You're getting a boner right now just talking about it.
I watched The Voice. He's funny. He's uh-huh. personable. He seems to have a great personality. But when you say sexiest man alive, you're taking away every other man on earth, and you're saying this guy is above all others.
That's true. You are elevating him to rarefied
It's not even top 10. It's sexiest man alive.
Right.
I interviewed Blake A long time ago.
Really?
Yeah, when he had a hit with a song called Austin.
How did that go? Can you?
The song Austin, I couldn't
just
even tell you.
Sing it!
Sing it! He's calling and it's on her voicemail. It's very sweet.
Okay.
He was so delightful.
Austin.
So.
I'm going to Austin.
No, I don't
gonna
think.
Pick up
no.
Phone, call Austin, no, was, and say hello, Austin.
It's like Blake Shelton's in the room with us.
Very similar.
I'm sure that's how the song
Very
went.
Similar. But he was so charming
yeah.
And so funny and so witty. Sexy?
That's
no,
but some women
that's sexy
equate those.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. For me, that's huge. But for him, it just didn't all combine into sexy
because of the package that sexy is wrapped in.
Okay,
which is him.
Kevin does not want to date Blake Shelton.
I'm just saying, sexiest
Let's remember,
man alive.
Allie thinks Jim Gaffigan is sexy, okay?
Oh, so yeah,
true. Everything really needs to be qualified. We're looking through an odd filter on this side of the room.
Here's the thing.
Saying.
Does Jason prism. Momoa not exist?
He does exist.
Well, then he
looks
wins.
Smelly, though. Doesn't he look smelly
I
to
would
you?
I smell that all day.
Yeah.
All day.
Plus, he lives in the ocean, and that
right?
would be inconvenient.
Or he lives with dragons. I can't remember, but
right.
he lives not,
yeah. All right, let me
not
ask you,
geographically desirable. We know that.
Right. Let me ask you guys this question, and I think about this a lot. When people get elevated to where Blake Shelton is now, a lot of it is because of their fame, because you no longer can just look at him objectively now because you know too much about him. You
yes.
already know about his personality, his life, and all that kind of stuff.
Which all adds to him.
If but right, exactly. It's all positives for Blake Shelton. If he were not a famous person, all right, if he had not had that career for whatever the break was that he got, and he were just a guy working at the hardware store, and you walked in, Allie, would you ever in a million years look at him twice and think, God, that guy's a great-looking dude.
Okay, why would I be in a hardware store, number
That's
one.
Not the point.
Maybe
no,
you need some PVC tubing.
Oh, you're right, you're right.
All right, he's your Postmates delivery guy. He shows up. Do you even look twice at him?
No, he's a good-looking man. He really is. He's aesthetically pleasing. And if he's got food, I mean, even
sure.
more so.
Yeah, that's a big plus.
Yeah.
But sexiest man alive?
No.
But, Ralph, you're saying your wife is all in on that sexiest man
alive. I know from personal experience. Huh. There's people out there okay. who agree with People magazine this year.
Huh. Well, good choice then, People, I guess.
Is that what
nice
we're saying?
Sell. How about a job where you make $10,000 a month on social media talking about how great Cancun is where you live?
Yes,
how about
please.
That? I'll tell you all about that in about 50 minutes coming up on K-Rock. But first, from WJZ-TV in Baltimore, here's the article. Are you one of those people who can't stand hearing Christmas songs months before the holiday actually arrives? Is that a rhetorical question or does anyone have an answer for me?
I say no.
I mean, I think there are some people who don't like it that early.
Mm-hmm.
Does hearing festive carols weeks before Thanksgiving only make you upset that you haven't even had your turkey yet? A psychologist in Great Britain says your reactions don't make you a Grinch because too much Christmas music is actually bad for your mental health.
Bum, bum, bum.
What about that? I mean, isn't Christmas music one of the greatest, sweetest, purest, most lovely things in the world?
In the right time.
How do you turn that into something that's bad for your mental health? Christmas music makes people happy, doesn't it?
I mean,
Am
maybe
I wrong
we need
about
to
that?
Let's speak to the clinical psychiatrist that we have on hold.
We have a person on this story?
It's not a psychiatrist, yes, a clinical psychologist. Dr. Robert Holmes, I believe, is on the line. Hello.
Hello, how are you?
We are good. How are you, sir?
I'm very well because I'm not listening to Christmas music.
Hmm. Now, Mr. Holmes, what I can't imagine what you possibly can say that is bad about Christmas music, which, as I pointed out a moment ago before we brought you on the phone, is something that makes people genuinely happy.
To some it does. Festive carols simply do make people happy around the Christmas time season.
Okay.
But listening to festive carols weeks before Thanksgiving not only can make you upset, but it's actually bad for your mental health. It will make you mentally ill.
Now, explain how that works.
Well, listen, Christmas time is a stressful time for the best of us. And when we're off there shopping or trying to decorate or get things done, you can feel enormous pressure, you see. And that stress starts even weeks before Christmas does. It's just the wear and tear on your mental situation can be devastating.
Okay.
You find yourself living on an island, let's say, or isolating yourself from people, or or looking at maps and things, or eating in the same restaurant on the same day of the week. All kinds of insane behavior can follow.
Well, this seems deeply personal, if you don't mind me saying so, Doctor. But the thinking is that people hear Christmas music and then they go, oh my God, I'm so far behind. I got presents to do. I got parties to organize. I have to travel. I have to see my family. All the bad things about the holidays.
The pressures of the holidays come crashing in on one if you start listening repeatedly to Christmas music too early.
Mm, I see.
Santa Claus is coming to town becomes Santa Claus is coming to an asylum.
Oh.
It becomes Rudolph the Red-Nosed Sociopath.
Wow.
Have yourself a merry little psychosis. Peace on earth, chaos in the cerebellum.
Pretty catchy.
Joy to the Therazine. I'll be tranquilized for Christmas.
Wow.
Do they know it's Christmas in the mental ward?
No.
Hark, the herald angels go bat-ass crazy. Baby, it's cold outside and I'm mentally ill. All of these can have a horrible detrimental effect on people.
That does sound terrible.
So just skip it.
Skip what?
Just go right to New Year's.
That's skip all plan. Of Christmas?
Oh, F Christmas.
What?
Who's with me?
No one.
Oh, it's the worst.
No, everyone loves Christmas.
I'm going to be a Jew.
Our friend Petros Papadakis joins us next hour here on the Kevin DeBean Show, former Trojan himself, to talk about the big game, USC versus UCLA, coming up this weekend. And we'll give away a pair of tickets. Plus, I can't wait to tell you guys and share with you guys the story that is brewing in, I want to say, Florida, maybe, about the emotional support squirrel that may get a man evicted from his home.
Can't wait.
An emotional support squirrel, you guys.
Nope.
First, though, Allie, I think you brought us this story a couple days ago about the job opening in Cancun.
I did. They're looking for a Cancun experience officer, a CEO. You would move down to Cancun for 6 months, get paid $10,000 a month, and basically, what you're going to do is go out and show people how rad Cancun is. A bunch of social media posts, video, that type
of thing. This is a hoax. This is somebody trying to get my social security number. That's all this is, because this is way too good to be true. So we asked Dave if there's any way we can talk to the genius behind this idea, and it's the general manager of Cancun.com, Chad Meyerson, who joins us on the phone right now. Hey, Chad, how are you?
We're doing great. Good morning, guys. And we actually would rather have your bank account number if we can get that rather than your social.
All right. I mean, at the end of the call.
See, I told you guys. Chad, we saw this news and we thought, well, here's a job that 98% of the world would like to have. It's got to be too good to be true. This must be some sort of just you're having a laugh, right?
You know, if only. No, we're actually completely serious about it, although we are having a lot of fun with it. But no, we're serious. We want to send someone down to Cancun. We want to have them spend 6 months there. We want them to have do everything there is to do in Cancun and show everybody what there is to do. And so we're actually very serious about it. And as you're probably not super surprised to hear, it's getting a great response and a ton of people have shown their interest.
They'll be housed in luxury hotels and resorts for the duration of their stay. All work-related accommodations, excursions, and equipment will be completely paid for.
Wow.
When it sounds too good to be true, though, Chad...
Hey, have you been to Cancun, though? I mean,
yes.
It's a different place.
Yes,
I
have.
It's going to be amazing. And like you said before, it is a job. We are having somebody that's going to go down there, and they're going to spend time doing these activities. But they're going to have to blog about it. They're going to post about it on social media. But I'd say that's a pretty small price to pay.
Are you kidding me? I got to Instagram my surfing? That's terrible that you're making me do that. Chad, does this position exist now? Have you had a CEO in the past?
You know, we haven't before. So we actually just, our company, which is based here in the States, Travel Pass Group, we partnered with a company that's based out of Cancun that has owned the domain Cancun.com for a number of years. And as a partnership, we rebuilt it, made it a true destination page. And so this is our way of launching it to the world and having a little fun while doing it.
Wow. I wouldn't think that a place like Cancun would need to advertise, but I guess there is a lot of competition for any kind of luxury dollars these days, right?
There is, and I think what's really unique about Cancun is a lot of people have heard about it, a lot of people have been there, but a lot of people don't realize the breadth of activities that you can do there. I mean, you can obviously everybody knows the spring break world, right? You can
right.
go to clubs, you can have a great time, you can drink yourself silly if that's what you're into, but you've got so much more to do. There's the Riviera Maya that's amazing for families with spread out beaches and,
I can't do that.
And luxury resorts. So there's just a wide variety. I mean, did you know you can go swim with a whale shark down there?
Okay, that I'm in on.
You can go diving for art. You can zip line through the trees. I mean, there's a lot you can do in Cancun that people might not know.
Chad, what happens? Let's say I get the job and I go there and I'm blogging about it and all that. What happens when I get arrested? Do I still get paid? Am I still getting my 10?
We're going to disown all knowledge of you.
That's how you are.
Now, you don't have to be fluent in Spanish, correct?
That's correct. In fact, a lot of our target audience is U.S.-based, mm-hmm. and so we do require English.
Oh, but, you're out, Kevin.
Yeah, right? Got to be able to communicate in English. I'm out.
Just spoken English. Oh. Other languages are not required, but we're certainly happy to hear about people that are fluent in other languages.
All right, so you have to be 18 as of the first of the year, right, as of 2018. What other qualifications does one need? For instance, how much experience do you have to have with social media, with blogging, with taking videos, that sort of thing, Chad?
Well, we've promoted that it really is no experience required. Truthfully, if you don't know how to navigate a little bit on Facebook and Instagram, this could be tough for you.
Right.
But really and truly, we're not looking for anyone with any specific background. We just want somebody that's passionate about travel, that wants to get in there and have a great time and is really relatable on camera. I think that's, we're not looking for some perfect 10 model that's just going to go there and stand and look pretty in front of the camera.
I'm out. Okay.
Yeah. But we want them to get their hands dirty, right? Get in there, have a good time.
So Bean's out if he needs to get his hands dirty.
Yeah. Now, Chad, is this $10,000 a month in U.S. American dollars?
Yeah, we'll actually let you choose. If you'd rather have in pesos, that's fine, too. But we're thinking most people will take the dollar.
I think so.
This is the most accommodating boss we've ever talked
to. So far, there's a catch, though, Bean. There's always a catch.
There has to be a catch. And you put your CEO down at the end of the 6 months, right?
Well, it depends on their performance, but we'll probably let them live. But
let them come back to the States.
There really is no catch. We want someone that's going to do a great job for us. And the cool thing about this promotion, too, is that while not everybody's in a position to apply, we think that most everybody knows someone that would be interested in applying.
Sure. Yeah.
And the other piece, too, that I think is really cool to point out is that it's not just a single person necessarily. We've opened it up to teams. So if you're a couple, if you're two friends, if you're a family, hey, make a case for it and tell us why you'd be the best candidate, and we'll consider it.
Are you paying them more?
Well, no. They're going to have to share the money.
Okay.
See?
If you can only live on $10,000 a month, though, with your accommodations paid for, though, I feel like that money goes a long way down there.
Yeah. I'm thinking you'll be just fine.
You'll be fine.
And a lot of resorts down there, to be honest with you, that we'll be putting them at are all-inclusive. So in a lot of cases, all your meals are covered, too.
Oh, my gosh.
You're making money.
This is amazing. So CEO... .cancun.com, CEO.cancun.com. What's the deadline, Chad, you want to hear from our listeners by?
So we've got to get your application by December 17th, and then we'll go through and review them. In fact, while we were waiting on hold to join you guys on this call, we just hit our 2,000th application in less than a week. So we're getting some cool traction. In fact, they're coming in from over 80 countries in the
world. That's amazing.
Very cool. I
got to tell you, I'm very excited for the person that you pick, and it's going to be really fun next summer to be seeing all the cool stuff that they're going to be posting up there. I love it, Chad. It's a great idea, man.
Hey, we really appreciate it. We're going to take the final five down to Cancun at the end of January, so maybe we can check back in with you guys as we narrow this down.
And then they'll fight to the death or whatever, right?
Yeah, cage match.
Yeah, we're just going to lock them in a cage. Whoever emerges will be victorious.
Last man standing. All right.
Sweet.
All right, listen, Chad, we thank you for your time, and I want to remind our listeners again, if this sounds too good to be true, it probably is, but you can go for it anyway at CEO.Cancun.com by the 17th of December. Chad, thanks for coming on today. We enjoyed it.
Hey, thanks so much, you guys.
You bet.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 6:53.
Time for another look at the Showbiz Beat here on a Tuesday. Ralph is here. What's new?
Another day, another sexual harasser. This time, it is showrunner of the series One Tree Hill, Mark Schwann, who's being called out by pretty much every woman who ever worked on that show.
Wow, no.
It all started with a writer named Audrey Wauchope. She released some statements regarding unwanted and inappropriate touching from this guy who was the producer. Being manipulated psychologically and emotionally. I mean, some really terrible stories. Showing naked photos of an actress he was dating to people without the woman's knowledge, just showing it around the set. This guy calling in Audrey's writing partner into his office to talk her out of getting married and into dating him. Now, apparently everyone has worked on that show, including the entire cast. Sophia Bush, Hilary Burton, Bethany Joy Lenz. Daphne Zuniga, Jana Kramer, Chantal Van Satten, Allison Munn, they've all released a statement and signed it all, including the women on the crew and the writing staff as well, saying this guy was, for the entire run of the series, just wildly inappropriate. And in some cases, they even feared for their safety. So
for years, this went on. Yeah. And until now, no one said a word.
You have to understand the dynamic of set, man. It's a very unique situation where these guys who are showrunners and producers and creators of these shows literally hold people's lives in their hands. The staff and the writers and the crew that are working with them. Everybody is so terrified that they're afraid they're going to lose their job, that these guys just hold that kind of sway over them, and that's why they take advantage, and that's why they get away with this crap. But hopefully we're living in a world now where that's going to change, because, mm-hmm. yeah, as you mentioned, from 2003 to 2012, yeah. how long that show ran, eight
wow.
seasons, and this was going on during its entirety. So.
And this guy reminded them of all the people that would be out of a job if they were to say something.
Yeah,
just a scumbag.
So there you go. Here's some better news. Cal Jam's coming back next year. Cal Jam 2018 is on the books for October 6th, Glen Helen Regional Park and Festival Grounds in San Bernardino, California.
All right.
And here's even better news. Foo Fighters are going to headline again.
Awesome.
So you'll get to see those guys. Of course, they played this year's event, and they're going to return as well. So everyone who was a fan of them, that's good news.
Hey,
that was a great festival.
Yeah, I was going to say, with as much competition as there is for these multi-act rock shows around the country, and there are so many of them now, the fact that Foo Fighters came out of the gate and had a successful first one is amazing. So I'm very excited they're coming back.
Eagles of Death Metal did a very cool thing. They returned to Paris yesterday, 2 years after the terror attack at that band's concert at the Bataclan. They were on hand for a tribute ceremony for the victims. They played Duran Duran's Save a Prayer along with their own song, I Love You All the Time, and the tribute was hosted by the President of France, Emmanuel Macron. So it was a very touching event, and great to see those guys show up and be there for that. And here's some interesting news. There is a new theory, according to Newsweek, that Amelia Earhart, legendary female aviator who was the first woman to fly the ocean solo, she was doing a around-the-world trip when, famously, of course, she disappeared back in 1937. The theory is now that it's very likely she was eaten by giant crabs.
What?
You heard me. What? Giant crabs ate her. That's right.
How do they know that?
Because they are. The theory is that her plane crashed on the island of Nikumaroro. Mm-hmm. In the South Pacific, which is the home of the coconut crab, a crab the size of a dog.
Oh, my God.
If she died and crashed there, it's likely they would have attacked her body and dismembered her remains, say scientists.
Oh.
Coconut crabs have the strongest recorded grip of any animal on the planet. It would be proportional to a human being able to crush 6 tons of pressure.
Oh, my gosh.
So they're saying she was probably eaten by crabs.
What a nightmare.
Right?
How is that a real thing? A crab the size of a dog?
You heard me. Because of science.
They can measure, the crabs can measure up to 3 feet across, have claws with astounding crushing power, and are able to sniff out their prey. They've been proven capable of gaining an advantage over animals that outsize them. They can pull the bones from a pig.
All right. Good morning, everybody.
Coconut crabs.
I wonder what they taste like.
Now I'm getting everybody for Christmas. Hey, you want to play with Beer Mug, don't you?
What does that mean? Clarify, please.
Poker. I'm talking about poker. How about a spot to play poker at Beer Mug's table at K-Rock's Guys Night Out?
Going for the butt.
At the Bicycle Hotel and Casino this Friday. Not only get a seat at the table, you get a rack of chips worth $200. It's going to be quite the event there at the Bicycle Hotel and Casino. You can also RSVP if you don't win. At thebike.com.
Beer Mug has a beverage or two.
Yeah.
At those events. And loses a lot of money.
He's not a careful player. No. That's what you're saying. If you'd like to participate, why don't you give us a call right now? It's you got to be 21 years of age or older. So let's say caller number 21. 1-800-520-1067 is the number to call. Caller number 21 will get a spot at Beer Mug's table and play poker at K-Rock's Guys Night Out
at the Bicycle Hotel and Casino. It's a shame.
Fire beer mug.
Shame girls can't go to that. Cause
girls welcome
as
well.
They have a good time.
Ralph.
But
oh,
sadly,
it's open to everyone. Ralph.
It is
open
guys.
To
no, it says right here. K-Rock's guys night out. Right. So it's just for the guys.
But girls are welcome.
The guys get to go and have their night out.
Right.
It's just a shame. You think they'd like some ladies to show up, but
I mean, it's that's the arts right there. You know, right. Laughter, sad, sure. Cry, right. Everything.
Mm-hmm. Patrick Warburton's 53 today as we look at celebrity birthdays. Josh Duhamel also having a birthday today. He's 45. Travis Barker of Blink 182 is 42. Corey Michael Smith, Gotham's Riddler, is 31. And Bean Baxter, our own Bean Baxter, celebrates his birthday today. Bean
Girl,
Baxter, right?
Holla!
That's all holla at Bean Baxter when you get a chance. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
The story of the emotional support squirrel coming up. Also, Petros Papadakis talks the big game, USC versus UCLA this week, and that's all on the way. But first, our president is returning home, you guys. This has been a long overseas trip, 2 weeks in Asia through all sorts of countries. I think he's finally coming home today. And he says it was a very successful trip. It was not without its controversy. He continues to have a war of words with the president of North Korea, Kim Jong-un. They don't love each other, do they?
No, not at all.
Doesn't seem like they're going to be friends. Kim Jong-un referred to the president as a destroyer who is begging for nuclear war. I think this is as a result of all the battleships that we have in the area there. But what really got the president down was that Kim Jong-un referred to him as old again, called him a dotard again or a dotard. It's not a word I know, but they've used it before, which just means a very old person. And that seemed to really hurt the president's feelings that they called him old.
But yeah, that's sort of weird.
He's 71.
Because he is sort of old.
I mean, he's kind of old. He seems vital, but he is 71 years old. You can't do anything about that. So the president tweeted the other day, why would Kim Jong-un insult me by calling me old when I would never call him short and fat?
Oh my God. Now,
am I wrong or is that another way of calling him short and fat?
Oh, no, he's 100% saying it, yeah.
He's saying he would never do that,
right,
though.
Right, but he did it.
So I don't know what's going on, but we've got a good relationship with President number 45, so let's try to get him on the phone. Ladies and gentlemen, on his way back to America, President Donald J. Trump joins us again on the Kevin DeBean Show on K-Rock. Hello, Mr. President. How are you, sir?
First of all, you're welcome, okay?
For?
Because I got the UCLA players back from China, and I hope you're happy about that.
I saw that they were on the way back.
Our nightmare is over.
Uh-huh.
It's like getting those hostages back from that country that one time where they had those hostages. Now I've gotten back the UCLA 3, as I'm calling them.
As you're calling them.
As everyone is calling them.
The shoplifters.
A lot of people are calling them that. They were political prisoners in China. And then
I don't think they're political.
I broke into a Chinese prison with a helicopter.
That's just not true.
And I rescued them.
They weren't political prisoners.
Steven Seagal, younger.
Yeah, you don't want to throw that name around right now either. They stole some sunglasses, Mr. President. That's what they did.
That is fake news, first of all.
It's true, though.
They were trying on the sunglasses, okay? And then they got disturbed. They got distracted by something. Like, oh, what's this over here? And they walked out of the building.
Oh, I see.
Okay,
that's
what happened.
So I want to welcome back Lucille Ball, Salisbury Hill, and Baba O'Reilly to take it back.
Cody Riley, Jalen Hill, LeAngelo Ball are the actual names of the Americans. Okay. So, Mr. President, let's talk about Kim Jong-un. You are friends with him or you are not friends with him as of now?
I want to be friends with him.
You do.
Okay. I tried so hard to be his friend.
Mm-hmm.
And then he calls me old, which I just think is a complete insult. A lot of people know I'm very, very young. I have the best years. Unbelievable. And I would never call him short and fat. Why would he call me that?
Now, when you tweet, I would never call him short and fat.
Never. I would never call him.
You're basically calling him short and fat in that tweet.
I said it in the tweet.
Right.
You need to tweet to read the tweet, okay?
I would never call
him short and fat.
I feel like you're just trying to give yourself cover because that way people can't accuse you of calling him short and fat even though you did. Okay.
Wrong. I would never call Hillary Clinton, for example. I would never say that she's got the face of a shrunken apple sculpture. I would never say that. Okay?
Well, you shouldn't say that. That's inappropriate.
I would never say Joe Biden looks like someone covered a rat terrier with Nair and then took it off the leash. I would never say that. I want to be their friends, okay? I'm trying very hard to be their friends. Very, very, very hard.
So you're just complimentary to people, really.
I would never say Nancy Pelosi looks like the last grape in the bowl in the fridge that you leave there for too long. I hate that grape, by the way. I would never say Wolf Blitzer on CNN looks like an old woman's vagina.
Oh.
Wow.
Gray hair, right? Who's talking about me? I would never say that because I want to be their friends.
Right, but just by saying you would never say that, you're saying it.
Really, though, vulva. Blitzer, right?
We've got your tickets for your U2 experience. You get to listen to their new album before it comes out and before anyone else gets a chance to listen to it.
With but them.
With the band.
With the band, but aren't you kind of put in a tough spot?
Yes, because what if you don't like it?
What if you don't like it?
This is great because you're with the band.
Bono, good work, mate. Right?
That's coming up in a few minutes. Also, we'll talk to the P about USC-UCLA this weekend. You know, I don't know if you do this, Kevin, but when I am reading, sometimes my mind races ahead toward how the sentence will end. Does that, you understand what I'm talking about? Like, you're starting to read the first part of the sentence and you think you know where it's going.
So I do that with a book. I read like a half a chapter and then I just guess where the whole rest of the book is going.
Wow.
So you don't have to finish it.
That's fine.
So when I saw this headline from Fox News yesterday, Florida man in desperate struggle too, in my mind I'm thinking, oh, the poor dude, he's going to have cancer or he's stuck in a well and he can't get out. He's just trying to claw his way out to save his life. No, it's Florida man in desperate struggle to save his emotional support squirrel from eviction.
Did you say he might be stuck in a well?
He said a well.
I was saying as an example
of
where
the headline would be Florida man is desperate to get out of a well. If they're writing that headline, they know he's down there.
Is his name Timmy?
Lassie, go get me some help. My point is the emotional support squirrel may get this man thrown out of his condo, and I wanted to find out more information, so I do have a news report. I think you guys are going to find this interesting.
Welcome back. Yesterday we talked about emotional support animals on planes, but what about an emotional support squirrel living in a condo?
By the way, just as a PS here, this emotional support animals on planes is literally just people who want to take their pet someplace, right?
I mean, I would guess that that's 90% true. And that there are 10%, maybe that's even being generous, that actually need the emotional support of a pet.
I would think that it is extremely abused, but that privilege, that opportunity is abused with people just claiming their pets are emotional support. All right, let's see what's going on in Florida.
One Bay Area man is fighting to keep the animal. News Channel 8's Jamel Ine joins us now live from Island Way on Clearwater Beach, where the man was just given an eviction notice, all because of this little squirrel, huh, Jamel?
By the way, Ali, you were in a TV for a long time. Is this reporter excited to be on the emotional support squirrel
beat? Not loving it so much.
She's not seeing this as her Pulitzer Prize-winning report, is she?
That's right, Josh. Good evening to you. Yeah, I spoke with a former board member who says that the pet policy is to protect all residents that live here in a squirrel, just not an authorized animal. Ryan Boylan and Brutus, his emotional support squirrel, that's right, squirrel, are inseparable. He rescued her last year after Hurricane Matthew.
Ever since then, I mean, oh my God, I couldn't imagine not being around her.
Any thoughts on Ryan and the early reviews here?
Oh, Ryan's nuts.
Kray and Z.
He rescued
two words.
I don't know, have any of the details about why this squirrel needed to be rescued and what that had to do with Hurricane Matthew, but he cannot imagine not being around her. I mean, she's like his little buddy.
Right.
So, I mean, again, I think at this point we all understand the attachment one gets with a pet. But at what point does it cross over to a legally authorized emotional support squirrel? I think that's what we're waiting for.
But Boylan could lose her. Property management at Island Way discovered Brutus, and exotic animals are not allowed. They say Boylan never told them about the squirrel. He was sent a notice to give up the squirrel or be evicted.
I was very sad that he had to basically push every single limitation that he could to try to get me out because of Brutus.
All right, I'm not sure what he's talking about there.
I'm not either, but I do love that a squirrel is named Brutus.
And it's a girl
named Brutus. That's my favorite thing.
Okay, so what the condo is saying is, look, we have rules in place to protect all of our residents, and you are allowed to have the animals on this list, and I assume it's probably dogs and cats and fish maybe. I don't know. But a squirrel, they say...
An emotional support fish?
Well, I mean, I don't think they would have any problem with somebody having a fish.
Oh, I see. Just a general.
You know what I mean?
Okay.
But, I mean, because a fish is not likely to attack somebody. But do you think that their thinking is, and it's not well explained in this piece, but do you think that their thinking is a squirrel is a wild animal, therefore it is dangerous to have? Because
or
there
maybe
are
it's
a million,
diseased.
Right, but there are a million squirrels probably outside that building.
They're trees in Florida with squirrels in them. What I'm saying is, how dangerous can this guy's squirrel be? This guy's squirrel that lives with him and is a pet can't be more dangerous than a wild squirrel that's living 30 feet away outside the building.
Well, those wild squirrels are not living inside his building. Mm-hmm. That's the whole point.
That's
the difference. They are wild animals.
But do you think this squirrel is, like, leaving his apartment and going and getting the elevator and going out for smokes? I mean, what? The squirrel's not running around in the hallway.
Although, if he did go out for smokes, I would love that.
Yeah, that'd be pretty
cool.
I'd
be all in on that squirrel.
I don't see that this squirrel is really coming in. If the squirrel lives in this dude's condo, how much contact is this squirrel having with other residents of the building?
Well, do you want a chance that somebody has a squirrel? And then someone comes over to your condo, he bites somebody, or maybe he's tearing apart a wall, something like that. Do you want to take that chance as a condo owner?
My answer to that would be, I guarantee you that people who are bitten by dogs in this country is thousands of times more than people who are bitten by squirrels.
Right, so, but that's irrelevant.
It's not irrelevant.
Do you want a squirrel living there that might bite someone?
Well, I do, first of all.
Right.
I think squirrels are awesome. But my point is, a dog would be much more likely to bite someone than a squirrel, and the dogs are allowed. So it's not really about the safety of the other condo residents.
All right. Realistically, though, the squirrel...
Hey, Dave.
Hey, the squirrel is not going to bite anybody, but it is going to poop, and it's going to poop everywhere. So now you're getting this diseased little animal pooping everywhere, and that is unhealthy to
everyone. How are
you
diagnosing this squirrel as being diseased, Dave?
Because the squirrels are dirty.
Squirrels are not diseased.
So
oh,
yes, they are. They're dirty.
They're dirty little rats with furry tails.
Look, you may not like squirrels, but
no
like
evidence.
Squirrels.
I want one as a pet, but
there's no evidence to support that they are diseased. I'm just saying.
They
don't automatically carry disease.
Listen, it's science.
A lot of them have the plague.
A lot of people don't know that.
Let's hear more.
Boylan contacted the Office of Human Rights claiming discrimination, and they sent a letter to the association on his behalf stating the Fair Housing Act protecting emotional support animals. Sherry Arfa is a former board member.
Well, I know she's being discriminated against. I'm sure, you know, it's like any emotional support dog. People ask questions.
Condo officials say it's a liability if something happens.
It's not just like with any animal, you know. You can have the nicest dog and they could bite somebody. It's no guarantee.
She feels the squirrel should be free.
As I said, if it was a gerbil or something that your grandkid had hiding under the bed, I'm sure that would be fine. But a squirrel is a wild animal.
How is there that much of a difference between having a gerbil as a pet or a rat as a pet or
a
squirrel as a pet?
But that woman is a party. Am I right?
What about this, you guys? Is he being discriminated against because of the Fair Housing Act? Is it against the law to not allow him to have his emotional support squirrel? And what makes it a legally authorized emotional support squirrel, I wonder?
Does he have a doctor's note from?
He has a doctor's note that he got through a website.
Yeah,
which is how most people do it.
A doctor's note.
That sounds
a
website
note.
That's what that doctor does. It is an actual doctor who I think I don't remember. I saw the site in another story. It's something like registermysupportanimal.com, and I'm not even kidding. It's something like that. And you can get a doctor's note. So now is he living by the letter of the law? He's got a doctor's note. Now he should be allowed to keep his squirrel. I don't know.
No,
I don't know the answer to this.
Because this squirrel is not a pet. He stole this pet from the outside. He never registered it.
He rescued this pet.
Rescued it.
Says him.
Yeah. I bet if you let that squirrel go outside, it's never coming back.
I guarantee the squirrel wants nothing to do with this dude.
Right?
Screaming for help.
This squirrel thinks Riot is a loser. let's talk to Sherry real quick. Huntington Beach, please, line two.
Hey, Sherry.
Hey.
We're good. Welcome to the show. What do you got?
5 years ago, we had a squirrel, and he had a deer tick, and I've been fighting Lyme's disease ever since. So, yeah, squirrels are no good.
Oh, squirrels are no good.
So, wait, all squirrels are no good because one person got Lyme disease from one squirrel?
So far, one for one.
What about all the people who get rabies from dogs? What about all them?
You can cure rabies. Try living with Lyme's disease.
Right, Bean?
I mean, I can't argue with I can't argue with Sherry talking about Lyme's disease. There's nothing I can say to that. All right. Thank you, Sherry. Appreciate the call. Let's talk to Justin real quick. He's calling in on behalf of Little Brutus.
Hey, Justin.
Hey. So I raised a little baby squirrel, and when it was really fun for a few months, but when it started to get older, its natural instincts kind of kicked in, and it was a little hard to manage. So I can understand what they're saying about having a squirrel as a pet. It just gets naturally a little too squirrely for mine to find.
Wait, your squirrel got squirrely? What did he do to you? Did he just start, like, kicking you and stuff?
Yeah, he kicked him.
Yeah, he kicked him.
Squirrels
what
are known for kicking people. What's happening?
I'm opening the door for Justin to fill in the blanks.
But
what happened?
Squirrels aren't kicking anyone.
He would like to climb and, like, sit on your shoulder for a little while, but eventually he just liked to run around and he would scratch us up. So he was just a little too much movement, a little too spazzed out.
What about the poop, Dave asks.
Great question.
Well, the poop actually wasn't that bad. I mean, it was just kind of like owning any other rodent. You know, you just pick it up little pellets.
Did you just open up your front door and just throw your pet out to face the world?
Not officially, but yeah, we did let him go back into the wild.
Not officially, but totally.
Back in the wild.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. Thank you for the call. So we're all agreed. Squirrels are...
That band 30 Seconds to Mars is playing the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas. We've got your tickets coming up a little bit later on this morning.
Petra seems to me like the kind of guy who would have had a ferret at some point in his life. What do you guys think?
Oh, definitely.
100%.
Talking about squirrels as pets. Pete, did you ever have any unusual pets growing up?
I'm allergic to animals, and I don't relate well with them.
Wow. So not even a dog in the Papadakis household?
We had dogs. Nobody cared that I was allergic. I just lived with eczema sores all over and coughing and wheezing.
Wow, your family hated you.
Wow. Oh, my God.
Completely, yeah. We had a wiener dog. It bit my face when I was 9 and hung off my lip.
Are you sad about that? Do you think you missed out on an essential joy of life, not having an animal?
No, I had them.
Yeah, he had a dog that hung off his lip, Bean.
Right?
Okay.
Yeah, everybody has animals, and they ruin my life. Even though I'm a 40-year-old man, I never outgrew my allergies because I started smoking cigarettes at 13. And now I'm convinced that's a reason. And now, even if I walk in somebody's house that has dogs, it can potentially ruin my day.
I want a 30 for 30 on Petrus's life. I really do.
Same.
I feel like there's a lot of layers that we haven't even gotten to with this man. Well,
I've known you guys for 15 years.
I know, but yeah. We're learning new stuff about you all the time.
We need to move in together, though, Pete.
Oh, God.
Well, listen, I'm so grateful that you joined us today. We love having you on. Big week, even now, all these years later, even with the season as lopsided as it is between the local schools, USC versus UCLA still is worth a mention, right, Pete?
Absolutely, because it's a week that people that don't normally pay attention to college football or maybe football at all kind of get involved and get their bragging rights going. It's what we would call in the football world a crossover sports week where, you know, people have parties and have conversations and eat hummus while the game is on. And that's great. You know, it involves more people. And the rivalries are fun all over college football, and they're all pretty unique. But USC-UCLA is really unique. You know, they're only like 13 miles apart. Between Westwood and South L.A., and it's kind of like the Valley is more of a UCLA place, and South Bay and O.C. are kind of more USC. And what do you guys call the Inland Empire? Do you still call it the
Valley of the Dirt People?
Yeah. I guess they're more into the Bakersfield Roadrunners or something.
Now, USC has already gotten the Pac-12 championship, right? They're already in the championship game.
They have clinched the Pac-12 South, so they will most likely take on, I think, Washington State in the Pac-12 championship game at this point. But the North is still a little bit wide open. It's kind of crazy. But I did the game on Friday night with the crew I work on that Washington lost to Stanford up on the farm, and that kind of eliminated the West Coast for all practical purposes for the college football playoff, unless USC really blows everybody's doors off in the last couple weeks and there's chaos that ensues in the South and on the East Coast in college football. Then maybe in a couple weeks we'll be talking about USC in the playoff, but I doubt it.
Really? That's interesting. I mean, you definitely called them at the beginning of this season as being the team, the best team in the Pac-12, right?
Yes, and like always, I was deeply mistaken. USC has had a mess of a season, even though they've only lost two games and they've already
clinched. How's it been a mess?
9-2 seems pretty respectable, P.
It's respectable, but when you're talking about a team dominating, the West Coast is way down, and USC got their doors absolutely, I mean, not blown off. They got their doors, like, inverted against Notre Dame. They got completely pushed around out there. They didn't look ready for the game. That's egregious. That's worth, like, 3 regular losses right there. And then they lost the game up in Washington State. Just overall, I feel like their offense is a bad fit for their personnel. I think they put too much on their quarterback because he's so spectacular, and he's made a lot of mistakes this year because of that. And I just don't think they concentrate on or celebrate the right things, and they lack a lot of discipline. But they're so talented that a lot of times that just eclipses a lot of the blemishes.
Okay, now we're going to I have some more questions about the big game, but so that we have time to do this properly, P, we want to give away a pair of tickets right now to see the Trojans versus the Bruins at the Los Angeles Memorial Coliseum this Saturday. And you're going to help us give it away to a college football fan with a trivia question, right?
Yeah, I got one for you.
All right.
Who was the quarterback that Rodney Peete beat to win the USC-UCLA game in 1988 in the Rose Bowl?
Okay, so Rodney Peete was quarterbacking for the Trojans. Who did he beat on the other side of the ball?
Correct.
And that was a UCLA quarterback, right?
Correct.
Okay.
All right. So
we'll take the first caller with that answer, 1-800-520-1067, and win a pair of tickets.
Pretty easy question, actually.
Let's take it back to when you were the captain of the worst USC football team in history, which would have been what?
Around the late
1960s, early 70s. You go back that far, right?
Around 32. Back then, you know, after we beat Notre Dame, we'd come in on the train to Union Station, and then we'd have a parade down Broadway. Back when that was really the bee's knees.
Right. What was the crosstown rivalry like in terms of pranks, school versus school back then?
You know, when you play on the team, you really are detached from what the frat people are doing, honestly, because you're just filled with so much hatred and you really do have blood in your eye for that football game. Not that you try any harder, because if you're not trying your absolute best at every football game, you're going to get hurt out there. But there's just a lot of real vitriol. At least there was when I played. You know, if there was a UCLA guy at a party that you were at, you know, you were probably going to say something to that guy, or it was probably not going to be cool, unless you knew the guy from high school, and it really depended on who you were with. But
even you know, when you played, when you guys were that bad, it mattered?
What are you talking about? What's the matter with you?
In 32, she's talking about 1932, when you guys were playing.
I'd strap on the old leather.
What?
Right?
The old leather helmet without a face mask.
Right.
You know,
P, before we go to our...
which was a full woolen sweater.
Sure. Before we go to our contestant on the line here, I just wanted to ask, when did they start covering the statues on the respective schools because they didn't want any nonsense from either side?
They started, I think they... I mean, they were doing that when I played, so at least they started doing that in the 90s.
Okay, goes back a ways.
The students have a good time. There's the victory bell. You know, and it's not really just the students, you know. It's really more about the people that are my age that have kids or kids that are older or, you know, in their 20s.
Is it mostly alumni?
Yeah, they gather. That's how they socialize. That's why UCLA is still outdrawing the Rams. And UCLA is awful this year, but they have a great quarterback. And the Rams are great this year. And UCLA at the Rose Bowl still outdraws the Rams generally Saturday to Sunday, because that's how people socialize. If you went to college at a certain place, those six Saturdays are, you know, every fall are where you see the people you went to college with. Now, I don't relate with that. I was a football player, and I was angry, and I used to cry and throw up before and after the games and go home alone and cry in the fetal position in the shower.
And people say you don't know how to party.
That's
a lot of fun.
All right, the question...
Take a bottle to the shower with me.
The question was, who did USC's Rodney Peete beat in 1988 in the Rose Bowl? Who was the UCLA quarterback that he beat that day? I think Tori is up with the first correct answer, West Hills Line 1.
Hey, Tori.
Hi there.
Hi. The answer is?
Troy Aikman.
Yay!
That's correct. You got tickets to this Saturday's game.
All right, sweet.
Congratulations.
Hey, I figured it out, huh? That's like a good K-Rock question. You know, not too hard, but not too obvious.
What does that mean, a good K-Rock question?
You know, for sports. You know, I don't want to be too complicated.
I got
a trivia person.
Yeah. Right.
It was well.
It was a great question. We
it
were
was
all
well
fans
done,
of it.
P.
Thank you.
I mean, we love you, and you're the best.
I appreciate it. And, I need the confidence.
And you come up with the best questions.
I do. I try my best.
Who's going to win the game?
USC should. USC's definitely more talented. They're more successful this year. They have a much better defense. I mean, UCLA, even though they won last week beating Arizona State, you know, they're still giving up around 600 yards a game.
Ouch.
And Jim Mora is a defensive coach. So without getting too far into it, that guy is, he's been on the hot seat this year, and it's not getting any better. They were flying banners that said, fire Jim Mora, basically, over the Rose Bowl. He was getting the old banner treatment on Saturday. That being said, the intrigue in this game beyond, like, hey, I like SC, or hey, I like UCLA, or hey, I'm going to fly a stupid flag outside my house this week, is we have two great quarterbacks. Sam Darnold is still spectacular. He is so much fun to watch, and he's going to be an NFL player. And so is Josh Rosen. He does not have receivers this year. He doesn't have the same record and the same amount of attention because he's been hurt a little bit this year. He's missed a game and a half, but he is still absolutely great. He's got a great arm, and he wills guys to catch the football. So with him, UCLA's got a chance. It could be interesting, but I doubt it.
Petros and Money Show airs 3 to 7 on AM 570. We love you, P. Thanks for jumping on today, man.
Thank you. Have a great day, and fight on.
It is 7:53. Coming up just after the top of the hour, we have a pair of passes to an exclusive pre-release listening party with U2 in support of their new album, Songs of Experience. So you get to listen to the album before it comes out and with the band.
You know, I mentioned this yesterday. For a band that's been together for over 40 years, the fact that they've never done an event like this makes it obviously very exceptional and very cool to win. What are we looking for this time from U2 fans?
We're going to do Listener-okie. So you pick your favorite U2 song, and then you perform it for us.
Yes. Because those are easy to sing.
Right?
Yeah,
right.
I was just thinking about that.
He's a hack. He can't sing. That
whatever U2 song you like, from Sunday Bloody Sunday to Vertigo to Beautiful Day, whatever you want to sing for us, we'll take your calls right now at 1-800-520-1067. You sing your favorite U2 song, someone wins tickets to hang out with the band and hear the new album days before it is released on December the 1st. Ralph is here now. Time for the Showbiz Beat on a Tuesday morning. What's going on?
Great news. Sony talk about developing a Morbius movie. Right?
Yeah.
Oh, Morbius. Yes.
He or she is the absolute best.
Now, you know who Morbius is. Morbius, of course, is...
It's a lot more than Littlebius. No? Morbius is a robot.
No.
Human.
No.
A robot flies.
Is a Spider-Man character. Character from Spider-Man mythology.
Yes.
Of course, is...
Spider-Man's best friend.
No.
Lived in his man cave.
The scientist, Dr. Michael Morbius?
Yes! He made the Adamantamillion.
He suffers from a rare blood disease?
Yes!
And so he cures himself, but...
He gives it to other people because it shoots out his eyes.
No.
That would be cool,
He develops
right?
a pretty cool. form of vampirism.
Oh.
And he becomes a vampire thirsting for blood. And he gets super strength and fangs. So he has to fight his own nature and try to be a hero while he's also desiring to drink the blood of humans.
Oh, man.
Morbius that the sounds, living vampire.
That sounds pretty cool.
That sounds good, but I would also like to see Ali's movie.
That one sounds good, too.
About the robot who shoots viruses out of his eyes?
Yes.
Thank you.
It's a pretty confusing concept. Taylor Swift! is rolling out the dates for her 2018 Reputation World Tour. All stadiums, by the way. All stadiums.
Giggity, giggity.
So you're not just trapped there listening to Taylor Swift music. You're surrounded by 40,000 of them.
That's my health.
Of those, right?
When I die, if I go to hell, that's where I'm going.
That's where you'll be. You'll be in a stadium with Taylor Swift fans, and she'll just be on stage singing, "It's the heist, and you can touch this, Taylor." And come on, sailor, whatever awful lyrics are.
I think those are accurate.
Sounded right.
Yeah. She's a pretty dynamic live performer, you guys.
Right.
I know you haven't had the pleasure of seeing her in concert as I have
seen her multiple times. I'm going to pull a bunch of live Taylor Swift singing audio.
Can't wait.
It's legendary, by the way.
Can't wait.
How bad she is singing live.
I'm looking forward to it.
So I heard a guy say dynamic, no?
She lip-synced on Saturday Night Live, by the way, this past weekend.
She lip synced on
Saturday. And they had a no lip sync policy after that Simpson debacle.
Oh, yeah.
Who was it's
Ashley Simpson. And she did a jig.
Right, because it was the wrong track.
That was funny.
And so they had, for a long time, they had a no lip sync policy. But Taylor Swift insisted that she lip synced.
You know why? Fake. Song.
That's what I'm talking about.
Fake.
Yo. Bean, why didn't you mention that?
I don't know that that's been confirmed. I've seen that. The Consequence of Sound really has it in for Taylor this week. They're the ones who reported it. No one else is saying anything about her lip syncing. Well, I don't know. I'm just saying I never saw it reported anywhere else, and I watched it and couldn't see any lip syncing, so I don't know what to believe on that.
Well, we know your eyes are completely unbiased.
I mean, I'm happy to admit, look, if she lip synced, I would be surprised and confused by that, but I don't know that it's true.
It happened. It's true. Science. I heard a guy just say it a second ago.
I heard it, too, on the radio. Yep. Taylor, by the way, is using Ticketmaster's verified fan program. So you have to pre-register for the seats. And you get a bonus if you give up an organ, I've heard.
That's
right? It's the new Ticketmaster policy. If you give up, not a major organ, like, you know, like a pancreas or one of your kidneys or a uvula. You know, you get moved up in line. You get bumped up because that's fair.
I'm worried about with all this boosting going on,
and
I'm not really participating in much of it.
But, what's going to happen with you?
Well, that's what I'm worried about. Maybe I'm not going to be able to get tickets for the Superdome show in August.
Oh, no.
Well, that would be a colossal disaster.
I would be very sad. Yeah. I'd be very sad. I'd like to see her every tour.
He would be standing outside just crying.
In a fetal position in the parking lot. Amazon announced yesterday that it is going to make a Lord of the Rings TV series. Finally, someone's going to take those books and make a piece of entertainment
out of it. Well, there are
movies. I'm glad that someone is going to take those famous books and finally put it on the screen.
There are movies that are out there.
What? Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do we need more Lord of the Rings?
Depends on how it's done.
Really?
And these are different stories. It's not like they're remaking the same material that was turned into the book. I mean, into the previous movie series, right?
No, it's the books.
I think it's the same.
It's the same Lord of the Rings books.
I think these are the characters. Ones we don't know about.
I think what I heard, and maybe I'm dead wrong on this, is that they were creating stories about those characters before the events that happened in the films. That's what I heard.
Oh, prequels?
That and all. It has a rights to all the books and to do spin-off series as well, if they choose to. But the basis of the series will be the books.
Those were pretty epic movies. I don't know how you do that on a TV show.
I think they pretty much covered it, too. They covered then The Hobbit. They did that one. Sure. I think we got that part of the world covered. We're good with that author and those works. Got those. Thanks. We're good over We're thank How are you guys? Today's celebrity birthdays, Corey Michael Smith, the Riddler. From Gotham is 31 years old today. Travis Barker turns 42. Josh Duhamel is 45. Patrick Warburton, my buddy from Family Guy. Such a funny, talented guy. The original Tick as well, 53 years old. And our own Bean celebrates his birthday today. Bean, how are you going to celebrate, buddy?
Do you want extra sausage?
Right? That's what he's going to ask over at the spa.
Bean.
He's
going
to go to the spa and start offering up some sausage.
Like he do.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Songs of Experience is the new album from U2, due out everywhere on December the 1st. But you get a chance to hear it a few days before on the 27th of November with the band. We're talking about an exclusive pre-release listening party with U2. We got U2 fans on the line. It's time to play Listener Oki.
Listener Oki, Listener Oki. That's the game we're going to play. Listener Oki, Listener Oki.
All right, so you pick your favorite U2 song and you sing it for us. And then if we all three agree on one person, they win.
Okay.
If we don't all agree on one person, then we put everybody into the drawing and then we do a drawing.
Okay. All right. Good news for somebody who's up first.
So let's start with Juan in Riverside. Hi there.
Hey, happy birthday, Bean.
Thank you, Juan. Very kind of you. What U2 song will you be singing for us here?
Vertigo.
Vertigo. All right, good choice. Let's hear it.
Here's Juan.
Uno. Dos, tres, catorce. Hello, hello. Hola, I'm in a place called Vertigo. Donde está? Everything I wish I didn't know. Except to give me something I can feel.
All right.
Happy birthday, Bean, I can feel.
Thank you, Juan. Juan seems like a guy who enthusiastically sings along with the radio a lot, and I think he's pretty good at it. Well done, Juan. Please hold on.
Let's go to Jim in Garden Grove. Hi, Jim.
Hello.
Hello. What song are you going to sing?
Where the Streets Have No Name.
Ladies and gentlemen, Jim.
I want to run. I want to hide. I want to tear down the walls that hold me inside.
Little pitchy,
I
dog.
I want to reach out and touch the flame where the streets have no name.
Okay, all right. Okay, you hold
thank on. You very much, Jim. I did not hate it. I'm going to tell you that. It was certainly better than I could do. Thank you for calling in. Who's up next?
Next is Chris in Studio City. Hi there.
Hi, how's it going? Good morning, guys.
Good morning. What song are you going to sing for us?
With or Without You, Piece of It.
With or Without You, Piece of It. Okay.
Yes. My hands are tied. My body's bruised. She got me with nothing to win and nothing left to lose. And you give yourself away, and you give yourself away, with or without you, with or without you.
Are you ready? That's pretty good.
Let
okay,
go.
thank you,
love
Chris.
It.
Keep going, Chris.
I love it.
A little CZ for me, but thank you,
love
Chris.
It.
All right, I appreciate
on.
The call. All right, so far all dudes. You gonna put some ladies in the mix here?
Sure. How about Gina in Huntington Beach? Hi.
Ah, there we go.
Hello.
Hello, guys.
Hi. What are you gonna sing for us?
Right.
Pride in the Name of Love. Here we go.
Early morning, April 4th, shot rings out in the Memphis sky. Free at last, they took your life, but they could not take your pride. In the name of love.
All right, hold on.
Top note is tough.
Okay, hold on. Thank you.
Thank you, Gina. By the way, I thought I knew a lot about U2. I've been a fan since their first record. Mm-hmm. But I just found out this week that Chrissy Hynde from The Pretenders sang background vocals on Pride in the Name of Love. Is that common knowledge? Did everyone else know that?
I did not know
I
that.
I did not know that.
I had never read that before, and I was very surprised by that. All right, so four in so far. Who's our next contestant?
Let's go to Sam in Cypress. Hi there.
Hey.
What are you going to sing for us?
All I Want Is You.
All I Want. Here's Sam.
You say... You want diamonds or ring of gold. You say you want your story to remain untold. But all the promises we made from the cradle to the grave.
Okay.
I won't.
Is you. I don't know about you, Allie, but I just got pregnant.
Yeah, I have a boner.
Seriously.
Yeah. Bean got pregnant, and Allie has a boner.
Yep.
Sam's performance was very gender confusing to me. I'll tell you that. All right, I think we got time for a couple more if we work fast here.
Let's go to Sharon in Long Beach. Hi, Sharon.
Hi. What's my God, I want this so bad.
What are you going to sing?
Mysterious Ways. I'm going to start in the middle so we can get to the good part.
All right, here's Sharon.
To touch is to heal, to hurt is to steal. If you want to kiss the sky, better learn how to kneel on your knees, boy. She's the wave. She turns the tide. She sees the man inside the child. Yeah. It's all right. It's all right. It's all right. She moves in mysterious ways. Uh-huh.
All right.
Yes, she does. She moves in mysterious ways. All right. One more.
One more. Let's make it David in Calabasas. Hi, David.
Morning.
Morning.
You are our final contestant for Listeneroki for U2 listening experience with the band. Go ahead.
Right on. Singing Electrico. Boy, stupid boy, don't sit at the table until you're able to. Toy, broken toy, shout it, shout. You're inside out if you don't know. Electrico, oh, if you don't know.
Okay.
Electrical.
All right. Thank you, David. Appreciate that so much. All right. So, what do we think?
I mean, I have a name.
You do?
I do.
Does it start with an S?
It does not.
Okay.
Does it end with an M?
It does not.
All right.
Oh, then we're not on the same page.
So, yes. I guess we're going to do a drawing.
Sounds like we're doing a drawing. All right. So, it's going to be Juan or Jim or Chris or Gina, Sam or Sharon, I guess, are all in the drawing to win tickets for the exclusive pre-release listening party with the band in support of the new album, Songs of Experience, November 27th. Ms. Allie McKay, who's our winner, please?
The winner is Juan.
Juan. Congratulations, Woo! Juan.
Thank you. You're
welcome. Enjoy it, and thanks for playing the game.
Listen to Rocky. Listen to Rocky. Thanks for playing our game. Listen to Rocky. Listen to Rocky. You suck and we're lame.
If you want to join us for the sold-out night number two of the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2017 show on Sunday, December 10th, we are going to invite you to win those tickets in about a half an hour or so here on the Kevin Bean Show. You can see the Killers with us and Weezer, the Lumineers, Foster the People, Phoenix, Franz Ferdinand, Morrissey, so much more. About 30 minutes from right now, your tickets, and we got them for you every hour all day long today on K-Rock from 9 till 6 p.m.
Do you watch this Ice-T and Coco reality show?
I had no idea. I did. I used to hear about it a lot. It was very popular for a while, but it's been years since I heard about it, and I had no idea that it was still on the air.
Is this the one they always had their dogs with them everywhere they went?
Yes.
Okay.
And they
wow,
have,
that seems so long
ago. It
does
so long ago.
10 years ago. Yes.
And by the way, I will tell you that a lot of people have relationship goals to be in a marriage like Ice-T and Coco. They always seem to be so into each other, and they seem to have so much fun. They seem like a delightful couple. And that's why this video that was making the rounds on Facebook this week is very confusing for me, because how could anyone want to spend time with this woman?
Well, I mean, in this clip, I mean, Coco does have somebody pretty much vacuum the sidewalk before she walks on it.
What?
That
Wait,
happens.
What?
But I would assume that that's just made up for the show. I would assume that they said, we need something interesting for the show, so let's have somebody vacuum.
Like get dirt and leaves out of her way before she steps?
Correct.
Come on.
So that she could walk on a clean sidewalk.
No. No. No, sir.
I mean, it's a thing.
It is not a thing.
It is a thing. I'm saying I think they made it up for the show.
Yeah.
But it's a thing.
Come on.
It happened.
Okay.
Did it happen once for the show? Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I'll tell you what, and if you've seen this video, and you probably did because it was everywhere this week, her assistant has a vacuum cleaner, and she has to slowly walk to give him time to vacuum in front of her. It literally slows her down waiting for him to vacuum, which just doesn't seem like it's time efficient at all.
I feel like it's great, A. And B, we started talking about there must be a lot of personal assistants out there that have had to do crap jobs.
Oh, yeah.
For sure.
Just horrible, horrible things that you had to deal with as part of your job.
I mean, because the whole point, especially in this town, especially if you are working as a personal assistant or a celebrity's assistant, the whole point is they have you on payroll to do the jobs that they don't want to do.
Like vacuum the sidewalk.
Like vacuum the sidewalk.
Because Coco doesn't want to do that.
I mean, if you have a personal assistant, depending on what the arrangement is, you know, you don't ever have to clean out the litter box of your cat again. You know what I mean? That's somebody else's job. That's why I'm paying you, is to do stuff like that. But I would imagine that that would be mild compared to some of the things that people have had to do as a personal assistant.
Like expressing anal glands
no.
and stuff?
No.
A little bit? Yeah, I
no.
bet. I bet.
I think not on animals. Am I right?
Oh, you're awful.
Am I right?
So, what are the criteria we're looking for here? Do you have to have been a personal assistant, or is it just a terrible thing you've had to do in the course of your work?
I think anything that's awful.
So even if your whole job was awful, then
yes.
Like if your job was repairing broken sewer pipes, that's fine to call in with, right?
What about collecting tweets?
Oh, Bean's tweets.
Oh,
how
I'm
dare
sorry.
You, Chip?
I'm sorry, Chip.
Hurtful.
That doesn't count.
All right. So we're looking for people who have had the worst jobs or the worst job tasks.
You had to do the worst thing at work.
Okay.
Now, I assume that it'll be mostly assistants because mm-hmm. they're the ones that do get everything.
The grunt work.
The
yeah.
grunt work, mm-hmm. yeah.
How about nurses, though? How about nurses?
Yeah. Oh, man. I mean, I don't know that we want nurses to call because...
Terrible job sometimes.
Yeah. Yes.
He says, as the son of a nurse, I shake my head as the daughter of a nurse.
But I feel like, do we want those stories?
No, I don't think we do.
Mm. Too much moisture in those stories.
Oh.
Okay. All right. All right. So we're looking for terrible jobs or terrible things you've had to do as part of your job. That's the topic. It's going to be interesting to see what we get. 1-800-520-1067. It has been ruled. I'm sorry. No nurses. But anyone else, give us.
Just ahead of Jimmy E World, let's take one call. Where should we go, Jill?
Yeah, let's talk to Jill. Oh, we got some good ones, though, man. Jill, welcome to the show. Marina Del Rey, terrible jobs. What'd you have to do?
So I was an assistant to a very high-maintenance photographer, and we ended up traveling all over the world. Well, one of the places we were in, they only had porta-potties. So he made me clean the porta potty with those little moist towelettes you get at like barbecue restaurants.
Right.
With my hands. I ended up getting feces all over my arm.
Oh, chill.
Chill.
And I just
why wouldn't you wrap yourself in those things?
I don't know. They were so tiny. And I just kept thinking, I am not getting paid enough for this.
Was there any part of you, and I don't know what the breaking point is in your profession, but was there any part of you who thought about just saying, I would rather quit than have to do that job?
You know, I think I did worse things than that, and that's what made me quit. But yes, that was one of the top worst.
That's amazing, Jill.
She
I hope
did worse
you.
Things
she
than that.
She did worse.
Wow.
I hope you're on to something better now, Jill. We appreciate the call so much. 1-800-520-1067. The worst thing you ever had to do for work. We'll talk to you next on Cable.
I'm just going
to
say it. This was a terrible idea.
I was thinking the same thing.
This idea is a horrible idea.
We're going to regret this topic
why did
forever.
We start this?
I apologize for everybody who's about to hear it. We saw a post on Facebook this week about Ice-T and Coco's assistant having to follow in front or lead her with a vacuum cleaner cleaning up the sidewalk, vacuuming the sidewalk before she walked on it. And we thought, oh, that's a cute story. That's kind of fun that people have to do kind of quirky things for work. I wonder what other bad jobs people have had, but I had no idea what kinds of jobs were out there.
I mean, really, though, we should have thought through this.
Let's. Why don't we start with James? He's on line four, please. He's in Redondo Beach. Just to give you an example of the kind of work our listeners have done. James, thank you for calling. Thank you for holding on. What'd you have to do, sir?
Thanks, Kevin and Bean. Thank you so much. Yeah, so I worked at a cemetery and mortuary a long, long time ago, and I was on a probationary period, and about a month into it, they brought us out into the cemetery and dug up a grave, and it was a Jewish woman, and she was had a wooden casket, so all the casket was broken up, and as soon as they dug it up, you know, you could see her. And
wait, why were they doing this?
They had to move her body.
What?
Right?
Why?
I don't know. I think it was they screwed up, and they put her in the wrong spot, and then somebody else had bought the plot. I don't know, because I never found out that. I wasn't there for very long after that. But so they made me put on these big old long gloves, and she still had stockings on her legs.
Oh, leg. No.
Yeah, so I pulled, I grabbed the stockings, and they kept all of her bottom half of her skeleton.
I don't like this story at all. Maybe they only had one plot. What if they just had one plot and they just kept reselling it and then emptying it?
Ooh, you know, it was funny because after I did that, you know, I didn't. They let me go. It was I didn't even know why. You know, it was like a few weeks later.
Well, they did you a favor. Yeah. It sounds like.
Right. No, I moved on and got, you know, much better job after
but
that.
You but you never slept a sound thing. Night again. That's for sure. Thank you for the call, James. We appreciate it. That is, that's not for everybody, by the
no,
way.
No, it isn't.
Let's go to John in Orange Line 2, please, up next on the Kevin and Bean Show. 1-800-520-1067. The topic is the worst thing you ever had to do in the course of your job duties. John, you're up.
Hey, how you guys doing this morning?
We're okay. We're starting to think this was a bad idea.
Well, thank you for letting me participate and bring the story to you guys.
Sure.
So, I was a whitewater river guide in the Fresno, California area. Up on the river, there is no septic system, no running water, anything like that. So the toilet and the facilities actually run on an actual septic system, I should say. It's a toilet.
Did you guess this happening with his phone?
Yeah. I'm sorry, John. We'd love to hear your story, but your phone is just crackling so much we can't even hear you. But thank you for the call. We appreciate it.
Can I tell you what he had to do? He had to fish something. He had to fish something out of a septic tank.
That's never fun.
Do we know what?
Mm-mm.
Well, if hello?
Yeah. Is it a little bit
better? What?
Oh.
No. What
thank
was
you, though.
What was it that you had to look for?
It was a toilet brush. So they tried to plunge the toilet.
A toilet brush. Okay.
Okay. Hmm. Thank you, John. Sorry we couldn't hear you. Let's go to Tustin. This is Kat.
I'm happy that we didn't hear.
This is a job that you were interested in because this is a job that hundreds and hundreds of people do every day in this country.
Hey, Kat.
Hey, how are you?
It's our phones, isn't it?
Oh, I hope not. Oh, I hope it's not on our side.
I hope it is because this is a terrible topic. This is good timing. All right, Kat.
What'd you have to do?
I am actually a dog groomer, so I express anal glands probably 10 to 15 times a day, actually.
Kat, so does it get easier?
No, it's not easy. Imagine, I mean, nobody wants their butt being pinched, so the dog.
Yeah.
Is it our phones?
I think it is.
Oh, no.
Should we try one more?
That is a terrible smell. I do know that.
That was my question. Not just the dog's reaction. No offense to the dog, but
cat. Let's try Sarah in Brea. Hi, Sarah.
Oh, my God. Oh, hi.
Hi.
Sorry, I didn't expect those back. So I work in the film industry, and I do production design. So it's like, you know, sets and stuff like that. And I was on this, like, low-budget indie feature, and it was a bunch of Australians. And they just had some interesting concepts of, like, what's okay. And, you know, they're a little more wild than we are. And so the script was about, like, a girl that was, like, kind of, you know, in the middle of nowhere trying to do the whole wilderness thing. And it was really low budget. And there's a scene where she's skinning this deer that she kills.
Oh, no.
But we couldn't afford a real fake deer. So their solution was to buy, like, a whole dead goat. And, you know, I'm really the only person who's supposed to handle the props and stuff like that. So they wanted us to, like, handle the dead goat and skin it and practice doing all that stuff.
That's just the worst.
We had to do so much research on, like, catching and skinning and taking apart animals.
All right.
Yeah.
Good times, everybody.
And you just have to go, am I getting paid enough to do this work, right? I mean, it has to.
Definitely not. It was
definitely not.
What, $150 a day at the time? But, you know, it's like so bad. It's so bad.
All right. Kevin, we're going to give you your choice. Pick your poison. You want to go to line three, your wife, or line nine, Linus, your personal assistant?
Wow. Wow. I'm going to go to Linus, I think.
Hello.
Hello, my name is Linus, and I'm the personal assistant of a very popular morning radio host. I can't say his name, but he's a very important host of a host show. He is the most important of the hosts. The show is called Hosts and Hosts, and he is the best host.
Okay, now, Linus, we're talking about terrible things you've had to do with the course of your employment.
Oh, I'm the personal assistant of this person.
Right.
That I'm the assistant of.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
And first of all, after every time he wears a pair of his underwear, I have to give it a burial. Every time he wears it once, and then we have to have a ceremony where we bury it in the backyard.
Oh, that's weird.
It's just littered with used underwear, I got to tell you. Then while he sleeps, I need to sit on the bed and feed him ice cream every time his mouth opens. He needs to eat ice cream while he's sleeping.
Oh.
Then I have to polish his nipples until I can see my face in them.
What?
I know, it's a lot of nipple polish going on. It's my job to empty his pockets and his cargo shorts every day after work.
Oh, that's impossible.
That's full time.
No idea what I find in there. Frogs and yo-yos and crumpled up $1,000 bills and pieces of string. Once I found a human finger.
That just isn't true.
And then he makes me watch soccer.
Oh,
I gotta quit this job.
Wait, soccer's the deal breaker?
Oh, I would rather have a human finger.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:52.
The sold-out K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2017 Night 2. We've got tickets you can win in 5 minutes. 5 minutes from right now, we'll tell you how you can get yours. Ralph's here now. Time for
tell me now!
Looking. Well, you got to wait 5 minutes.
Come on!
Wait till after this guy talks about showbiz news.
Can't wait.
You can't win, Ralph.
What?
Can't win.
Give me some time. I'll be eligible. Meek Mill, right? He's getting a raw deal in Philly.
Guilty.
Meek Mill. Poor Meek Mill.
Poor Meek.
Philly, what are you doing,
right?
Philly? Giving us a bad name with putting Meek Mill in prison. Yeah,
Didn't he violate his parole like 20 times?
Well, here's the thing. The FBI's looking into a situation because a judge in Philly did send him to jail for violating his probation, yes. But now it appears that Judge Janice Brinkley has been accused, of asking Meek Mill to remix a Boys to Men song and give her a shout-out on the track.
The judge?
That's what they're claiming.
What?
Then, when he said no, that's when she handed down the 2 to 4 year jail term.
Oh, that doesn't sound good.
I'll let you off if you remix Boys to Men and give me a shout-out.
What?
That seems like he deserves a new trial.
Or get it thrown out completely, no? And her disbarred. Disjudged.
Disjudged,
yeah.
Yes. I think it's removed from the bench. I don't think you get disjudged.
It needs to be tried in a different city.
Rick Ross and Dr. J held a free Meek Mill rally yesterday in Philadelphia. That's an interesting matchup. Dr. J, isn't he like 80?
He must be.
What's he doing out there?
That's baloney. It doesn't make sense.
Right?
Catch a cold. ELO's returning to the States. Why isn't there much rejoicing in this room?
Because
it's pretty big news.
ELO, which of course stands for Kevin. ELO.
Electric Light Orchestra.
Yeah! Yeah! How about that? They haven't toured the U.S. in more than 30 years, Kevin.
And are people looking forward to this?
Many people are.
Okay.
All arena dates starting August 2nd in Oakland, California, running through August 24th in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Boy.
Bean, sing some of their songs for me. I don't remember
exactly.
Yeah, give
us some ELO songs, Bean.
I can't really.
What's their most some of the big ones.
What's
their
most famous song?
I'm not a singer.
Some of the big ones.
What's their most famous?
Just they had so many hits.
They had one hit. Sing it.
They had Evil Woman.
They had a little bit.
Telephone Line.
I don't know. How does that one go?
How does Telephone Line go?
I'm not a singer, you guys.
Just a bit. Just a little.
Recognize a lot.
We recognize it. Just give us a little.
Don't Bring Me Down. You would know that one.
Just hear a little. Don't Bring Me Down.
You know Shine a Little Love would be another ELO song you would be familiar with.
Do a little bit.
You're not helping.
By
Blue
Sky,
words.
Something.
Blue Sky, another great song.
Right. How about singing a little of one of them?
They're an excellent band, and I'm delighted they're coming to America.
You're so much fun the way you
play, I don't go to things,
play along with everyone.
I don't go to things, but I would seriously consider going to that
yeah,
show.
Yeah, but you
would. I really would, though.
Yeah.
So have they been touring, just not America?
No, they've been apart for a long time. Jeff Lynne, of course, had a huge solo career. He was one of the Traveling Wilburys, produced a lot for a lot of other artists. They are just recently sort of back together again. They did a big show at Wembley Stadium, sold-out show in Wembley this past June. And they're going to release that on DVD and Blu-ray. But they haven't toured the States with the lineup in 30 years. So,
but still the same ride at Disneyland?
I'm confused by you
the
now.
Captain ELO? At Disneyland?
Wow!
Whoa!
I don't think Captain EO's even a thing
it's
at
not
Disneyland
even.
Anymore.
It wasn't great. Real tired.
But you know you have a choice in this world,
do.
Right?
I do.
That can go into your head
yep,
and it can
and
just
I can
stay
stop
there.
It. I can stop it.
Put that in the hopper.
Go ahead and put that in the file instead.
I am off the hook for not singing now. I'm not
nope,
the worst thing about
not.
This show,
I mean, she
beat.
Plays along. She's awful.
Right? She's terrible, but she tries.
Thank you.
I don't
thank
really
you.
Like to engage in the radio program.
We're better than this.
We're not.
Turn to stone. When you were gone, I turned to stone. Bam, 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 bam. Turn to stone. When you're coming home, I can't go on. Bam, bam, bam,
bam,
bam.
Was that their biggest
hit? Back in the, back in the, back in the.
No, but it was one of their many top tens.
One of their many top ten hits.
What was their biggest hit?
Telephone line.
Oh, I know that one.
Give me some time. I'm living in twilight. No?
I know that one, but I don't need to go see it.
Don't bring me down and down and down and down and down and down 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 down.
Oh, yeah, yes. Well, that one, sure.
Yeah, that was probably their last top ten hit.
Okay.
Most recent one.
Like enjoy that show.
Oh, it's going to be so good. And I can't get her out of my head.
Okay.
I know that one.
I know that one.
Okay. Why'd you both start off with, like, ones we've never heard?
They were all hits. I don't know what your world is like.
Strange magic?
Strange magic. Bum, 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 bum.
Living thing?
It's a living thing. What a terrible thing to lose.
I know that one.
It's a given thing.
Ralph knows them all, man.
Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Patrick Warburton is 53 years old today. Josh Duhamel is 45. Travis Barker of Blink-182 is 42 years old today. Corey Michael Smith. Very talented actor from Gotham, plays the Riddler on that program. He's 31. And our own Bean Baxter. Bean, don't ask me to sing. I won't join in. Baxter celebrates his birthday.
Now
he's singing.
Sure. Now you know why I don't choose to sing.
Sure. ELO gets nothing. But
right?
Those guys, they get the full Bean treatment. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. We have tickets for K-Rock's Almost Acoustic Christmas. This time it's night two, and we're going to focus on The Killers. If you know The Killers music, call us right now, 1-800-520-1067. We'll play a game next.
Going to be honest, no surprise, it's a great lineup every year, but I love this night number two lineup for the sold-out K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas, December 10th at the Forum. Can't wait to see ex-ambassadors again. I love them. Franz Ferdinand. I love Phoenix. Weezer is going to be on that bill. Morrissey, of course, headlining, and there's a little band called The Killers. that we're all huge fans of, and we asked for Killers fans to give us a call. They're on the line right now to win some tickets at 1-800-520-1067. Kevin, what game are we playing this time around?
Do you want the long intro or the short intro?
You know, it's only 3 minutes after. I think we got time for the whole thing. Sure.
Just a second!
Wow.
That's it.
That's it, huh?
Just a second!
All right, you want to explain to the callers on hold and our listeners how this one goes?
We're going
to
play Just a Second, the first second of a Killers song, and you have to tell us what Killers song it is. We'll play it for you twice. We can't repeat it more than that, unfortunately. It has to sort of be the same for everybody.
I feel like when the songs start, I know it's the Killers, and I know that I like it.
Oh, that's me 100% of the time.
I don't always know what song it is until they get into the singing part. But let's see how our hardcore Killers fans do. Who's up first?
Eddie in Los Angeles. Hi.
Hello.
Are you ready for Just a Second?
Yes.
All right, name this Killer song. One more time. What song is that?
Jenny Was a Friend?
Sorry, that's All These Things That I've Done.
Okay, all right. See, it's a tough game, you guys. Who's up next?
Next is Richard in Upland. Hi.
How's it going?
Good, thank you. Are you ready?
Yes, I'm ready.
Okay, here it is twice. One more time.
Listen to that. He didn't wait for the second time.
Nicely done. Hold on.
That was Somebody Told Me. Richard is in the drawing.
All right. Let's go to Ron and Covina. Hi.
How you doing?
Good. Thank you. Are you ready for
Just a Second?
I'm about as ready as I'll ever be for this second.
All right. Good luck. Here you go. One more time.
Mr. Brightside.
Sorry. That's when you were young.
See, his first impulse, he thought
Mr.
he knew it instantly. Not so much. Take just a second and think about it first.
See what you did there? You worked the title of the game into a sentence where you were exhorting them to just take a second and think about it.
Exactly.
Hey, Eddie.
Hi, good morning, guys.
Are we interrupting anything? Is this a good time?
Well, I put Eddie on the air while we were talking, and then he was just talking amongst himself as well. All right, you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay, here you go. One more time.
That would be All These Things That I've Done.
That was Read My Mind. And by the way, All These Things I've Done, we had kind of used earlier, so that'll eliminate it when we get to your turn, if that helps.
All right, let's go to Robert in Glendale. Hi, Robert.
Hey.
It's a tough game so far.
Yep.
Are you ready?
Yep.
All right, let's take bets.
I feel good about Robert.
Let's take bets on
he's
Robert.
Very chill, so I feel like he's got this.
I feel like he is saving his energy for when he needs it.
I'm going to pay Allie and Bean a dollar if he gets it.
All right, I'll take that.
Here we go. One more time.
Oh, God. Somebody Told Me?
Sorry, that's Human.
Kevin is a good judge of character. And again, the tip is, if it's already been used, it's not going to be your killer song, okay? So that one was earlier in the game.
It's sort of a dickish move to bet on whether he's going to get it or not, because this game is really difficult.
It is a very tough game, yes. But you are a better judge of character than Allie and I are. Allie, how would you do in this game? The Killers are your second favorite band of all time. Would you be good at this?
I've gotten all of them.
Whoa.
No big deal, you guys.
I would get zero.
Really?
Let's go to, I'd know them all, but I'd go, yeah, I love that song.
Yeah.
That's as far as I
could
get.
Well, that's the thing. A lot of people don't know song names.
So
that's
we should
the
call this, do you love that song?
Yeah. And then you just can go, da-na-na-na-na-na-na.
Garrett in Studio City. Hi.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. Thank you. Are you ready?
Absolutely.
Here we go. One
Mr.
more time.
Brightside.
Yes, it is. As a matter of fact, don't even have to play it for you twice. Congratulations. Hold on.
All right. I think we got time for maybe a couple more if we work fast.
Bianca in Laverne. Hi there.
Hi.
Are you ready?
Yes.
Name this killer song. One more time.
Human?
I'm sorry, that's Mr. Brightside. I'm sorry, that's Jenny Was a Friend of Mine.
Yeah. Make it more confusing, Kevin.
All right, can't even deal with the answers in front of me.
God.
Let's do it one more, and then let's call it a day. All right, Manuel in Montebello. Hi.
What's up, party people?
Are you ready?
I hope so.
Okay, here you go. One more time. All right, I'm going to ignore that. I'm going to say one more time.
Again, the tip is, since Mr. Brightside was used earlier, don't guess that.
Oh, Spaceman.
The Man.
Which is a different song, but thank you for playing anyway, Manuel.
We have Garrett and Richard. Both were able to identify killer songs based on the first, second. Which one? Miss Allie McKay is going to be seeing them as part of the sold-out night number 2 lineup for the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas show.
Congratulations, Richard.
Richard. Yay! Way to go, Richard.
Oh, yeah.
You won tickets for night 2. Congratulations, and thanks for playing the game. Yeah! Just a second. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:35. Do I have time to mention the Friends and Helpers thing?
Sure.
The food drive?
Go.
Having a food drive with the LA Kings. So if you're coming to the LA Kings game tonight, you bring canned food or gift certificates. And for each item that you bring, you will get a raffle ticket. And then in the third period of the game, you will win tickets to see the Kings in the future. And you will also win tickets to Acoustic Christmas.
Are things so bad for the Kings that they have to have their fans bring them food now?
Yeah,
are they
starving.
Not getting enough to eat?
No, it's not happening.
It's
a food drive that they do.
Chow down in the locker room in between periods?
They do it every November.
Ooh, they are hungry.
And it's benefiting Friends and Helpers, which is very cool. So you drop it off before the game, and then you get the raffle tickets. Then we'll do a drawing, and you'll get both Kings and Acoustic Christmas tickets.
One winner will get both?
Yes.
That's awesome.
And that's tonight, and then it's the 18th, which is Thursday night, and then it's the 22nd, which is, I believe, Sunday, I want to say. And then next Wednesday as well. So there's 4 different times that we're going to do it.
4 different home games you're doing this?
Yes.
That's awesome.
For 4 games. So you can bring the food. You can drop it off at any of the 10 exits, and you get the raffle ticket. It starts tonight. We do have some Kings tickets to give away for Thursday night if you want to see the Kings play Boston. 1-800-520-1067. And we'll take the first 3 callers right now to win those tickets. And if you're coming to the Kings game, please bring food. And help our friends and helpers.
But like canned food or something, right?
Canned food, yeah.
That's what you recommend.
Not a plate of nachos.
Right. Yeah. Don't bring like a banana.
Right.
Hey, look, I made spaghetti.
Right.
Now, Kevin, are you going to be at one of the entrances to Staples Center accepting donations?
I am going to be there for part of the time. Yes, Bean.
That's effing shaky. Don't expect Kevin to take that can out of your hand. That's what I'm telling you.
I'll be there part of the time.
Sure.
Part of the
time.
The whole
right.
time.
Uh-huh. As he's driving past.
Well, he's driving down to Marina Del Rey to get on the SS Friends and Helpers.
That's
his
right.
yacht.
So. Keeps his yacht.
But I'm pretty sure we'll have all 10 entrances covered tonight. So if you drop off food at any of the entrances, it'll go to Friends and Helpers.
Well, that's a very cool thing, and it's awesome that you have the Kings as a partner for this year. That's great.
Don't bring a plum. Do not bring a plum.
Right,
I'm
good
saying.
Good advice. Right.
Good example. Ralph is here with our final look at the show. Is being here on the Kevin and Bean Show for Tuesday. What's new?
I made a lot of J.R.R. Tolkien fans very unhappy today.
I'm sure.
By casting aspersions on the idea that we don't really need any more Lord of the Rings filmed projects. I thought
your argument was they were covered, right?
We had that story told pretty well. Each movie, by the way, was 18 hours long, if you're aware of that or not. Each film in itself was 18 hours. That's a trilogy. That's well over 18 hours.
It is.
Times 3. And then there's the Hobbit movie.
I mean, it's been covered.
I'm just saying.
That's what you're saying.
His work is well represented, I think. I don't know if Amazon needs to ramp up a Lord of the Rings television series. That's all my point was. But it's going to happen. You guys win, so you'll be able to watch that. You enjoy that. And then go to your D&D tournaments and huzzah and raise a flagon of mead.
I don't feel like you're taking your detractors seriously.
Yeah, they can all bite me. Speaking of biting, I wonder if this has anything to do with anything. You know, Jeremy Piven has this new show, Wisdom of the Crowd, on CBS?
Looks awful.
Yeah. It had 14% in viewership this week.
Now, is
that because 3 women have stepped forward and accused Jeremy Piven of sexual harassment? We can only hope.
I mean, I'm sure it didn't help. I'm sure nobody tuned in because he was accused of sexual harassment, but it also seems like a stupid concept for a TV show.
What? Crowdfunding?
Crowdsourcing
crime
information
solving?
For the police, yes.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, they're saying its time may be running out. We'll have to wait and see. Good news, however, for The Simpsons as we look at the ratings this week. It got its second best numbers of the season this past Sunday with 4.8 million viewers tuning in. That show has been on since the Carter administration.
It's crazy.
And it's still pulling in around 5 million viewers per episode. That's nuts. Here's good news for television. Kevin, I know you were a big fan of the movie Hitman, like I was.
Yes.
With Tommy Elephant.
Love that.
Then they remade that. Well, they kind of had a sequel to it with a different dude named Hitman Agent 47. which is also pretty good. Both of these based on a popular video game of the same name. Well, looks like Hulu is going to put together an original TV series based on that video game with the guy who wrote the first movie.
All right.
And he is going to plot it out, and we're going to have a Hitman TV series on Hulu, which is, they tell me, still a thing. So we got that going for us.
I'm in.
Ralph?
Too many services.
Yeah,
too many services.
Too many services.
I know. My favorite show on TV, or close to it, is one that I know you would love, Ralph, if you would embrace the Hulu, and it's called Chance, and it stars Hugh Laurie, and he is amazing on it.
I don't have the time. I just don't.
Okay, I'm just saying. There may be a show that you're currently watching on broadcast TV that you could lop off your schedule.
I'm lopping them off in general just to live.
Just left and right, huh?
It's not like I can't replace anything with anything.
Okay. So no matter how good something is at this point, it could be your favorite show ever, you just won't see it.
What do you want me to do?
I know you're a Hugh Laurie fan,
as
I am.
There are a lot of people who just don't have time to watch TV.
Set an alarm in the middle of the night and get up and watch Hugh Laurie a Chance at 2 a.m.?
If that's what it takes.
No, I'm not that committed to television. It's lovely and I enjoy it when I can.
I think it's time for you to reorganize your priorities.
Wow. Bean's life is unlike anyone else.
By the way, I watch very little television.
Oh, please.
But I will tell you, that doesn't mean I don't try to make room for things that I genuinely enjoy.
How do you go about doing that? How do you make room for things?
I don't know. I guess
what are you cutting out? What are you changing in your life that makes room for another hour of television?
I guess.
Give me some advice.
I guess you sleep less. I guess that's what you do.
Yeah,
you
that's what you're
that's
all
what
about.
Bean's doing.
The guy's in bed by 7 p.m.
What else you got? The next night.
What else
up so
you got?
Look,
that you want to lie about.
Look, I'm not lying. The whole point of this was I know you're a fan of Hugh Laurie. He's one of your favorite actors. And you're mocking Hulu, and I was just reminding you that he has a show on Hulu that is outstanding. That's all I was trying to do. I'm not trying to get you to change your life.
Sounds like you were.
I just am telling you there's a great show I think you would like, and I'm trying to give you a heads up.
We play this tape back in the courtroom. I think it's all going to be different.
It always looks bad in the transcript, too.
Congratulations to Britney Spears. She is the best of Las Vegas 2017. The awards were given out this week, and she won Best Resident Performer, which is saying something in Las Vegas, because they got a lot of residents there who put on pretty good shows.
I've always assumed that she lip-synced like she has her whole life.
Yeah, and when you watch the video of the show, she looks like a sort of a drunken Britney Spears impersonator stumbling around on stage.
So how is she the best resident?
I don't know how she beats out Elton John or any kind of
performers.
Yeah. Best Production Show, Best Bachelorette Party.
Okay.
Best Bachelor Party. All of these won for her Piece of Me show at Planet Hollywood. She ends her four-year run at Access Performance Space at the end of this year. But word is, Britney may stay in Vegas and do another residency at a different venue. I think she's hooked. I can't say that I blame
her. That's sort of the way to go.
You know, she's an artist now. Have you seen her paintings?
I have not.
Oh, yeah. You have to be
pretty
eight.
Good.
You have to be eight.
You have to be eight.
Seven or eight to come up with that kind of talent on her work. It's really quite impressive. She just sold one to charity, though, a charity auction for victims of the shooting in Vegas there for $10,000.
Wow.
Yeah. I could poop paint on
I'd buy it.
On a canvas, it would look better than what she sold. But still, 10 grand for a worthy
I guess. Wouldn't buy it for 10 grand, though.
Yeah. Robin Leach bought it. Remember
really?
Robin Leach? Campaign wishes and... not campaign wishes. Champagne wishes and caviar dreams. The lifestyles of the rich and famous. That dude's still alive.
He's still alive.
And he's got $10,000 to spend.
He still has that kind of money?
Britney Spears painting. Hmm. Today's celebrity birthdays. Patrick Warburton is 53 years old today. Josh Duhamel is 45. Travis Barker of Blink 182 celebrates 42 years today. Corey Michael Smith, the Riddler from Gotham, is 31. And our own, our very own, Bean Baxter, ladies and gentlemen. Bean Baxter celebrates.
What's up?
Celebrates his birthday.
What's up?
That's wow. real,
Your
by
birthday
the way.
Wow. What's up? How are you going to celebrate, Bean? You and Mrs. Bean going to go out and tear up the town?
I think I would try to squeeze in an extra hour of Hulu today. That's my goal.
Lord, that's exciting. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph, on your drive home today. Farm Morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean show. We've got the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices because it's Wednesday. We have your tickets for the U2 experience. We've got comedian Jeff Ross on the program. We've got Liam Gallagher coming in. We've got your tickets for the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas as well, all tomorrow morning on the Kevin and Bean show.